If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Playboy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
This program may contain scenes of violence, strong language, adult situations, and nudity, and therefore may be unsuitable for children under 17. Viewer discretion is advised.
Oh, my God, baby.
Oh, baby.
You feel amazing. Oh, I love you.
Sometimes when a man and a woman are attracted to each other, they want to be close to each other.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes the man puts his hoo-hoo dilly in the woman's cha-cha.
Oh, wait, just 1 minute.
Oh, I don't understand what that means.
Whoa.
And now,
what about the butt?
Excellent question.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, party people. 5:30 now, Tuesday morning. It is the 29th. Of the January. I think I'm the only one who's going to miss the January when it goes away.
I'm pretty sure.
You guys have turned on it.
I kind of dig it.
I do want to say yum, yum, yum every time you play it, but...
Sure. A good time.
It's just for comedy.
Lisa May, good morning. How are you, my dear?
Hi, Bean. How are you doing? Did you enjoy the presidential speech
last
night?
State of the Union? Yeah. Let me tell you something about the State of the Union.
Please do. How is the Union?
I would vote for that guy if he could do half the stuff that he promised in the State of the Union last night.
Or if half the things that he says are true right now were actually true.
Yep,
that would be exciting, too.
The State of the Union is the biggest fantasy show on television. It really is. People get up there, and you're right. None of what is said is accurate or is likely to come true.
Mm-mm.
Yet that's the deal. That's the tradition. That's the history. I mean, this guy, you know, President Bush— and this doesn't have anything to do with this particular president. Any president who gets up and gives his final State of the Union address is a lame duck. And especially when you've got the opposing party holding control of Congress, you know that you're not going to be able to get your stuff pushed through in the next year. People are so looking past him. Believe me, there were a lot more – I don't know if you saw it or not, Lisa. Cameras were on Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton as much as they were on the president. I mean, they're pushing him out the door like, next,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I did watch, and it is my tradition, and I do look forward to it. I don't know why, because it is about the most meaningless hour on television every year.
You're right, though. It is that hour or so where everyone just drifts into fantasy, and
everyone gets along. They
applaud because, oh, that's such a good idea. Let's do that. That'll be great. And just for an hour, they pretend that any of that can really happen.
I'd love for somebody to edit together from all of the State of the Union addresses. I think because every year, and the president said it again last night, apparently this is the year that Israel and Palestine are going to coexist democratically next to each other as friends. Because that'll happen. He'll make that happen in his final months, right?
Well, he's, you know, let's face it, he is a world-class diplomat. I think if he's proven nothing else in the last 7 years.
You mean George the Peacemaker Bush?
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
That's who I'm talking about, man.
Foreign affairs are his strong suit. If you travel right now, people just love America on behalf of him.
No, he's the guy. He's the guy who's going to bring the world together. That's for sure.
I'm no historian at all, but I did hear
him
talk yesterday. I forget what happened a week ago. How can I remember history? But I remember a report yesterday I heard where apparently Bush and his group were very, very upset and critical of President Clinton when he, in his final year, tried to broker a peace deal in the between Israel and Palestine. And now here he is, final year, just pushing as hard as he can.
That's what she said.
but it's just so funny that these presidents wait until the final, you know, the final year to try to do the most difficult thing that they'll ever do. I mean, why save that for last? That takes
time and
effort.
It's the Hail Mary pass at the end of football game.
Here's my potential legacy. If I can at least pull this off, then at least maybe people will forget about the other stuff.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's panic as he looks back, because I know that he's been worried about his legacy recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking back and going, what are they going to write about? Well, if I can fix the Mideast, boom, I'm in.
Yep. And by the way, he would get the credit and deserve the credit if he were to figure out a way to make it happen. It's just that it has not been easy to do. That's for sure.
No.
Update on something that Ralph brought up on the air yesterday. He was on a tear about, I think he was bringing in the Hounds of Hell or something on our friends down the dial on AM 640 KFI.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yesterday was brow down day, apparently. I don't know if there's some sort of a time lag between how long it takes from things to get to FM to AM. But the very popular hit from the fall of last year, Brow Down, apparently made its way down onto AM and was played on the Bill Handel show yesterday. And I didn't hear it, but apparently they played it and they laughed and it was funny and can you believe this and it's so good. And apparently nobody knew the origin of it was our own Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike is the, you know, the architect of Brow Down, which I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, Mike, but it's still up at KROQ.com in the video section. You can still see it on our,
I'm pretty sure,
our website, right? So I guess their listeners heard them playing it and contacted them and said, hey, guys, that's you know, that's from the Kevin and Bean show. So today they came on and made an apology. And I did get permission to play some of that audio for you. I don't know if you're interested. I almost hesitate to play it because the last thing Psycho Mike needs is his ego stroked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
I know.
But
I need
K-Rock
something
too.
Else stroked, Lisa May.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead and play it.
Before we go on,
do the Jews celebrate that way when the Fed lowers the interest rate?
No. They're talking about the cars getting burned in Miami. That's what Jews after do. The okay. heat win, I guess. That happened that's yesterday?
Sense. Yeah. They celebrate yeah, by setting up like little kiosks.
I don't know why the tape went backwards here, but he'll get to it in a second.
Just, you know, on our street, I'm a Jewish neighborhood.
I actually have
Fed
a...
Fed lowers the rate, there's another
I lost it.
Kiosks.
Where the heck is it?
We ran we that the video of Brow Down.
Glad day!
One, okay. And we got a bunch of emails saying it didn't give credit to Kevin and Bean of KROQ, whose producer actually did that.
And I want to thank Lightning, too, by the way, for coming up with that, producer of the Kevin and Bean show, for the excellent work that he did on Brow Down.
Yeah.
Lightning, very talented.
And I have to, number one, apologize. I didn't know that until after the show, incidentally.
You thought they just posted it.
I thought they just posted it. You know, I go, fine, I'm not going to give them credit for posting it. Turns out that the producer created it. That's their creation. Kudos to them, number one, for creating it. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, just genius. And
of Kevin and Bean said that their guy, Psycho Mike, is his name.
Got
He's
it.
Want to put
yes.
it together.
Very, and
I hesitate to say, but I did turn you out.
That's
I did give
nice.
You the credit.
Look at you, Bean. Thank you.
The boy had a brilliant moment. He had one. Let's give it to him.
It is funny that they think Mike is Armenian, by the way. I don't know if we'll get to that part, but they do talk about how funny it is that he's Armenian doing this song.
Self-hater.
Well, they works for them.
Yes, what, Mike?
I'm thinking that they're like, oh, he's got to be an Armenian or else he wouldn't be alive. How can he survive?
Right? He's a producer for
and
the show.
And Bean said it's really no big deal.
No, it's fine.
They said that they're big fans of yours.
No, but it doesn't matter. But I still have to give credit where credit is due. They're very, very clever guys, and I apologize for not giving credit. I really did not know that it was their creation that did that. And just for that, we're going to play it again.
That's the thing with the Jews, though, isn't it, Mike? They just steal, don't they?
How
you know,
dare
you know
he.
How they are?
And what, he'll battle back with me with him and his Jewy lawyer friends, and they'll just,
I know.
Just bury me.
I know. It's going to be a throwdown, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's the deal. That's the I didn't expect a Brow Down update. I didn't think I'd ever hear those words together in 2008. But apparently, it's like anyone releases a record and then all of a sudden a year later it's a hit in Germany. I mean, who can figure out how long it takes to get to AM?
But no, it's like Lionel Richie's now just getting to Iraq. He's like a huge star. Yeah.
He's the biggest star in Iraq. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, so thanks to Bill Handel for the big ups for Psycho Mike. And Brow Down is available. You can get it. You can download that one. That's one of the songs you can download on the KROQ website if you want to put it on your iPod. Or you can stream it, watch the video. It's all up at the video section of KROQ.com.
Well worth it.
All right, big program today for a Tuesday morning. By the way, we have a new theory. We think it's clever of Kevin to make up, hey, my dad is in the hospital, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Because where does his dad live, Lisa?
Phoenix.
Site of?
This weekend's Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yes. We believe that there's a 7-day tailgate party going on at Kevin's house. That's what we've come up with.
I think that's an excellent theory.
Psycho Mike pointed out earlier this morning that he's pretty sure that Kevin's dad died in 1985, but somehow it was convenient to say, oh, yeah, sick.
I did overhear Kevin talking to Omar before he left, and he was like, can I get that hospital sound effect CD before I take off for Phoenix?
Hmm, Interesting. Yeah.
So that may be what's going on. We'll find out. Speaking of the Super Bowl, our old friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network is going to join us on the show today. You know, even though they don't carry the game, you know, they've got a ton of stuff wrapped around the Super Bowl. It's a big week of the year for football fans. So we'll talk to Rich on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the conversation I'm most looking forward to today. Miss Double December 2006, Yasmeen, is going to be joining us later on today.
Our little spurned Yasmeen.
Yeah, apparently, if you weren't listening yesterday, apparently Dave is starting to lose interest, as shocking as that is, because he's Dave and she's Yasmeen. Now, I guess Ralph saw them, and maybe you did too, Lisa, at the Santa Anita at the microbrew this weekend.
Yes.
And he was just shining her, I guess. So
wasn't standing
up?
Anywhere near her, chatting up his friends, not acting like they're a couple at all.
I could do so much better.
My mattress is better than you.
He's going to be a lonely, sad man in another month.
No, stupid Lisa, whatever. I have so many hosts lined up for it.
He is going to look back on it and realize that he should have appreciated it was the best thing that ever happened to him in his whole life, I think. So we're going to try to head that anguish off at the pass when we speak with Yasmeen later on today.
Okay.
Not a lot new on television to recommend these days, but there is a new episode of The House tonight. House is on Fox tonight after American Idol, and we'll be talking to Cal Penn, who is either Harold or Kumar, but he's one of the doctors on The House show. We'll be talking about that episode coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. What else you want to do? Well, we're going to talk about how many 5-year-olds you could take in a fight. That was
because Mike says infinity.
Well, no, listen, I put a lot of thought into it, and I've really come up with a number. Yesterday, I was obsessed with how many 5-year-olds' asses I could kick, and I've thought it out. I've really sat down and thought it out, and I've come with a number. That's
this
all.
Is well, how much wrong. He thought about it. He thought about what their lung capacity is like, how strong their bones are.
Yeah, their bone structure. I was moments away from driving to my nephew's kindergarten class to go see a group of 5-year-olds and just to scope out the room and be like, dude, I could wreck these kids.
He's in camouflage. Yeah.
Well,
the ground.
If you want to get a head start on the conversation, the website is howmany5yearoldscouldyoutakeinafight.com. That's where you go to take the quiz to find out. And I think it's a fantastic idea for a website, but I think Mike's right that we need to somehow rent out the Coliseum and do it in person. I think we really do need to get some 5-year-olds to see what they can do to Mike.
Sure, absolutely.
I think it'd be awesome. I'm hoping we don't have time for this, but apparently a tape has been unearthed, not of Kevin and Bean 2000, not of Kevin and Bean 1996, not of Kevin and Bean 1992, but of Kevin and Bean in their first week on K-Rock.
Yay!
Kevin and Bean, January of 1990 is the tape that has come to light recently. And you think the show's bad now, and of course you're right. Can you imagine that this is how good we are after 18 years of doing it?
Wow.
Picture what that first week was like.
All right, I'll give the listening audience just a little taste of Kevin, Bean talking to Kevin.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past.
That's Omar. Yeah, that's Omar from the Cucamonga.
But that's about as bad, right? That's representative of how bad you were.
It is close to the quality.
Oh, I can't
right
wait for this. This is my favorite part of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, tape from before Lisa. You got to go back to find. I mean, Lisa, you've been with us since May of 91.
Yes.
So before you, it's hard to imagine that we even had a show, but it apparently existed.
Right? I didn't listen to it, I'll tell you that.
I didn't remember anything on this tape when I heard it either, by the way.
I
didn't remember
surprised.
Any of it. So.
A long time ago.
Anyway, also, two great things for you to listen for to win today. We are continuing to give away tickets to see My Chemical Romance and Paramore, and you're qualified for the drawing we do Friday for destination number 4, the K-Rock World Tour 2008, which is Paramore in Berlin. So that drawing is going to be on Friday. Your chance to qualify is coming up soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. And we're going to debut something new from our friends at Apple iTunes today. We've got 106.7 free downloads.
There's
nice.
nothing
cooler than free downloads,
no.
Let's face it. So we'll give you a chance to win those. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, too. It's 5:43 Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Quick break. Then we come back. Ralph's got the showbiz beat after this. By the way, I forgot to mention, because I didn't want to drive too many people away, but we're also going to get an update from Sam, the Armenian comedian, just after 6 o'clock this morning, who apparently is going to be a contestant on, or at least auditioning to be a contestant on, Last Comic Standing.
What? How could that possibly happen?
I...
Is it like the bad singers from American Idol?
That's a great point. I don't watch that show. Ralph, do they do that? Do they have horrible comedians in the early episodes of Last Comic Standing?
They show the audition process, much like American Idol, where they bring people up and they send them through to the next level or send them home.
Well, that explains it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure he believes he's going to win. I'm sure he believes this is his moment. So anyway, that update coming up just after 6. First, 5:51. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Lisa, tell the trader I'll do showbiz news when I'm good and ready.
What?
He'll do showbiz news when he's good and ready.
Thank you, Lisa.
Who's the trader? Who's he talking about? What happened?
Apparently
so you're playing,
you.
Yeah, well, did you hear the audio this morning that being played from Bill Handel over there on KLIT AM or whatever station he works on?
KFI, right?
Yeah.
And they're talking about it as if Bean has just been in constant contact with them. Did you hear that? Well, Bean said it was no big deal, right? Yeah, oh no, Bean said it was fine that we did it. Bean doesn't get along with people at our station, but other radio people, he can't wait to kiss their ass and have lunch and
he
hang
does
out
do
with
that.
Them. Ooh, I love radio people, all radio people, except radio people at K-Rock. Those of us who work here, you treat like pariahs. But, oh, Bill, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. You stole from our show and played it as your own.
It was an honest mistake.
We don't
mistake.
Mind. It was an honest mistake.
It was an honest mistake. And
that video's got
K-Rock
all over the front of it, all over the back of it. It's got a little storyline, tells you where it came from. They knew what they were doing. You
they
just let them off the hook.
We had just posted it. They didn't think that we had created it.
Well, did they watch it with one eye, or did Bill, have some splooge in his eye that he couldn't focus while he was looking at the YouTube, or he couldn't quite figure out the nature of the video? Has he lost? Is he that decrepit and antiquated that he can't even figure out where a video comes from?
I don't know what.
Oh, Bean said it was no big deal. Bean said, take some more bits of ours. But Bean said, use some of Psycho Mike's K-Fed. They're hysterical songs. Play those two. The kids will love them. Have a good
right,
time. Let's have lunch,
happened.
Bill.
Bill's. I don't know Bill. I've never met Bill. All right, Ralph, calm down. His producer, Michelle, emailed this morning and said, Bill feels terrible. Our listeners let us know that we had played the song and it was yours. We didn't know that. And I wrote back and said, seriously, we don't care. We thought it was funny. Because, look, anytime Psycho Mike gets ripped off and somebody else gets credit for his work, we're delighted with that. That's
no,
all
we're
it
not
was.
Delighted with that. You know why? Because we can pee all over Mike if we want to because he's our whipping boy.
Exactly.
But that stays in the family. Once other people start screwing with us, they screw with all of us. Then it's on. Then hell's coming and I'm coming with it.
Radio wars.
Look at that.
I don't think there's anything to be gained by getting in a fight with an AM station. I just don't.
Bean did put in the PS. By the way, if you ever need a Sean Connery or Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, we got plenty of that tape. We'll send it right over. Let's just produce a show for you, Bill. No worries. Douchebag.
Maybe we bring their show's ratings down to the level of ours. Maybe
and
it benefits us.
And then you come at Lightning, who actually did go out and shoot and produce that video and say, oh, I'm glad our producer had something to do with it. He had a lot to do with that video.
Of course he shot
so
the video.
So you come at us. You come down on your own people. Bill Handel, give me a big hug. Oh, you lovely Jew. Screw you, Bean Baxter. Screw you.
Lisa,
and a
tell
horse
Ralph I apologize for the misunderstanding, and I'm eager to hear what's going on in the showbiz.
The traitor. Is apologizing,
Traitor's
Ralph.
Dead to me.
And would like to hear the
dead
show
man
biz.
Can't say anything, Lisa. Dead men just go like this. That's what dead men do.
Well.
Psycho Mike, good work on that brown album, by the way.
Thank you very much for the support,
I'm
Ralph.
Sorry
I really appreciate
other people
it.
Steal it, and then the people whose names are on the very show that you work on won't stand up and give people the hell that they deserve for having done so.
Well, thank you, Ralph.
There are those of us in the trenches with you who stand by you.
I told him it was Psycho Mike. So that they could give him proper credit, by the way, just so you know.
You're dead.
Hayden Panettiere is back in her soapbox for marine mammals. God bless her adorable little heart.
Yes.
She's going to be fat when she grows up.
Yeah, Lightning says she's going to be fat when she grows up.
I think she's all grown up, frankly.
just a random thought that came out of Lightning's mouth. E! Online says she spoke at the Washington, D.C. rally on behalf of Save the Whales on Sunday. She was there for the weekend. And warned that Japanese fishermen who kill the animals, that most of their meat is contaminated by huge levels of mercury, so it's not even really edible. So stop doing it.
They but serve it in it. School lunches.
Now. I know.
They've been eating it for thousands of years, and they seem healthy.
Well, thousands of years ago, it wasn't all loaded up with mercury. Now, because of the state of the oceans, it is not fit for human consumption. So stop feeding it to your children, Japanese. And Bean called the Japanese and said, oh, it's fine. Oh, take all the whales you want. We got plenty of them. Take some of our whales. We got whales here in the Pacific Northwest. Just take them. Just kill them and take them. Britney Spears. You know, she's got that creepy / manager / friend, Sam Lufty.
Yes.
Yeah.
He apparently contacted Barbara Walters over on The View and gave her an inside scoop about how Britney was doing. Apparently, Britney, according to Sam, according to Barbara, says that she has been seeing a psychologist.
Well, good work.
And that Brittany has mental issues which are treatable, says Sam to Barbara Walters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Treatable by a 22 in the back of the head. Boom, boom, bye bye.
Leave her alone. Leave Brittany alone.
Oh, shut up. This is a great story about Nick Cage. You know, one of my favorite actors. Mm-hmm. He apparently was doing some press in England for National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets. And all of the journalists who were going to sit down with Nick were instructed not to look at his hair. The British tabloid The London Sun says that if journalists looked anywhere near his hairline, the interview would be canceled. Apparently, Nick uses some sort of product to make his thinning hair look somewhat fuller, and he gets self-conscious when people start staring at it, saying, hey, what's up with your hair?
Yeah. Or lack thereof.
Yeah, lack thereof. Yeah. He's been baldy for some time and manages somehow to get away with it.
What is he when, in regards to hairlines?
He's more of a hairline protector.
Ralph, do you ever see older clips of throughout the years of William Shatner and the various hair pieces that he's enjoyed over the years?
Sure.
Oh, my God. It's so bizarre how much his – I mean, I think his hair looks best now. I mean, I think it looks fine now. But he has had some rough ones over the years.
I think now he's working the plugs or something. He's done some sort of permanent –
Yeah, it looks
solution,
good, though,
which looks good. Yeah, it looks very natural now. That's why I think it's plugs. But my personal favorite is the hooker days. When he was TJ Hooker, he was rocking just some sort of mongoose pelt on his head, but it was just spectacular. It was just a big pompadour just piled high with synthetic hair. It's magical. John Travolta, by the way, worst toupee in show business right now.
Oh, really?
I didn't know he had a toupee.
Oh, Lisa May.
I haven't seen him in a long
Lisa,
time.
Lisa!
I haven't seen him.
Don't be so naive.
No
you
kidding.
Look at his hair. Oh, it's just horrible.
Well, now I can't wait to see.
It's like somebody shaved off a shemp of the Three Stooges' hair and glued it to his head. Sort of part in the middle, and it kind of hangs down. It's just a horrible hairline.
Piven, at the top of the game, as far as guys with whatever type of hair replacement, whatever he's doing, he's done it the best.
Yeah, he really has. You know who else? Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
If you look at him, pictures about 10 years ago, he was really on the downward spiral in terms of losing his hair, and somehow he brought it back, too.
Interesting.
I have another nomination for worst hairpiece, but he doesn't wear it in real life. He only wore it on the show, and that's Steven Van Zandt on The Sopranos with that hairpiece.
Yeah.
That was, he just wears bandanas. Yes. No, I don't think anyone's ever seen his head outside of a bandana in 15 years, but yeah, that was a rough one.
Although I feel sort of bad picking on people for hair loss, because really, what can they do about it? It's not like they have a choice. It's not like somebody losing the control of themselves and gaining 200 pounds. You can say, look at that fat bastard. I mean, there's really nothing you can do.
Of course.
Other than just get it, surgically fixed or glue
something. Yeah, but you don't need to tell the press not to look at it.
Yeah, that's a little nuts. But, and I just feel like that's one of those things that the tabloids and the tabloid magazine shows always sort of focus on. Look at his hair. Oh, look at that. TMZ does it. It's like, dude, it's like blaming somebody for being short or something. It's like, what can you do? That's just the nature
of it. And then there are a lot of people who just accept it and live with it and are happy and fine. And Woody Harrelson comes to mind. And he's a guy who's lost his hair. Who cares? You know what I mean? He's still a great actor. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Speaking of actors, CBS is going to produce a new television show for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the writer's strike going on, people were wondering how it was going to happen. This is very interesting, and I hope this isn't a precursor of things to come. CBS has hired a Canadian production team to do a new series for them. It'll be cast with Canadian actors, Canadian writers will write the show, and Canadian crew will produce it. It's a cop series called Flashpoint. Variety newspaper says that the series is the first scripted project to be developed and ordered by a broadcast network since the WGA walkout in November.
Excuse me. Idea.
13 episodes will be produced, and we'll probably see it sometime in the beginning of May.
How are they going to find Canadians that speak English, though? Is the accent going to be a problem?
Oh, Bean. It's okay, Canadians. Take our TV shows. We've got plenty. It's fine. No, it's not a problem at all. Enjoy. It's good times.
Is there any problem with being a little bit magnanimous? Come on.
You know what? How can you be magnanimous to strangers and then ignore your own family? You're the guy who beats his wife at home, but goes to church every day on Sunday and makes sure that all the valet parking is taken care of outside the church. You're that guy. Oh, he's a nice guy. Yeah, then he goes home and beats his family. That's you, family beater.
I don't believe that's me. Lisa, am I mean to the people at K-Rock, as Ralph is suggesting?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa, for being honest.
Yes, you are.
Thank
Actually,
you.
Yes, you are. Now that I'm thinking about it. Like, Mike and I will just be having a conversation. It's nothing to do with you. You're just doing your thing, whatever. There's music playing. And all of a sudden you go, will you guys just shut up? I don't want to hear this anymore.
I can't remember a time before this conversation started. My brain is numb.
Would you call being a supportive person to the people he works with?
Not
someone
really,
who
certainly
outstretches,
yeah, yeah.
goes out of his way to sort of help or support those people?
Not
yes,
really.
I
yeah,
do.
Went out of his way to call the producer of an AM morning radio show and say, oh, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's good. It's good that you stole from us.
What are you doing next week?
Yes. Here, take some more of our bits. Unbelievable. To strangers, he's the nicest guy in the world.
He has that lunch every month with a bunch of radio dudes he's never worked with.
Radio people's never worked just, oh, I love radio people. Except the radio people I work with.
How dare you.
What a solid crap head. Clay Aiken tells New York Magazine that he doesn't date.
Yes.
And has no plans to.
He's waiting for me, I hope.
He's a young and successful bachelor, but he has shut off his sexual appetites. Well, I guess after you're caught stripping for a Marine over the internet, it's hard to get...
That was a misunderstanding.
Hard to get your stuff going after that. He says his true love now is dogs.
Oh,
wow. Disgusting.
You know, his life would be so much easier if he just came out. Nobody cares.
Like,
they
we don't
only care
know.
Because he's so in denial.
Like, we don't know.
I know, come
gay.
On.
Clay's not gay.
Clay is gay.
Clay is super straight.
No, Lisa's right, though. I mean, it's not like Judas Priest, where your target demo is going to turn against you if you come out. The people who are buying Clay Aiken records probably not really going to care at all.
No, they're all gay anyway. Anybody likes Clay Aiken's gay.
Right. I love Clay Aiken.
Uh-huh.
There
mm-hmm.
you go. Call Bill Handel. Tell me you got a scoop. Happy birthday to Tom Selleck, actor. NRA member.
Yeah.
Mustache
yeah.
owner.
Yeah.
He is 63 years old business. Today. Oprah Winfrey, talk show host, turns 54. Heather Graham.
Oh. Ooh.
Spectacularly beautiful actress is 38 years old today. And Tommy Ramone. All right, the Ramones. He is the drummer for the Ramones, or was. I don't think the Ramones are still together, right? They only got like one member left.
There's two guys left and two are dead, I think.
No, a lot more are dead, I think, right?
Are there three dead?
Well, Dee Dee's dead, Joey's dead, and one of the original guitar players died. But they had that revolving membership, so who knows?
Anyway, he's 56 years old today, and if you're him, you got to be nervous, right?
Sure.
Because then the Ramones are dropping like flies. Yeah. So he should wrap himself in bubble wrap on his birthday and just sit quietly in a rocking chair. He's 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last Comic Standing, still on the air and a big hit. I guess that's the deal on that?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good show, too. I watch it each and every season. It's very entertaining, and they really actually do find very funny comics.
Has anyone from that show gone on to be a comedian, an actor?
Yeah, sure. Ralphie
person?
May, who's good friends with Jay
Ralphie
Moore,
May.
Who headlines in clubs all over the place. He came right out of there. Kathleen Madigan. There's a whole bunch of comedians who have got their big break off of that show. If nothing else, the top 10 people tend to get better dates and play, you know, headline at the Improv and places like that. Their road life has improved greatly because they get to say they were, you know, stars of this TV
show. Yeah, and some of them go on to hosting other shows on TV and stuff.
Ant and Grant,
that's
exactly.
What I was
yeah,
about.
Ant,
I of
Ant came out of that show and hosts that American Fat City or whatever that show
is. I think the question at hand, though, is that show, Last Comic Standing, ready for this?
Meet Sam Manoushian, a.k.a. the Armenian Comedian.
He's had many jobs. He's been a children's entertainer as a clown. He's been a failed comedian, a failed musician. And all during this period, he's been also cutting hair. So we always assumed that he was bad at that, too, because he's bad at pretty much everything he does.
I am the most talented man there is of the of human society of this kind.
I'm genius. I know I'm genius, and I've been told that many times.
Give me a break. He's awful.
I am no one's bitch. I'm my own bitch.
Did you get stoned today, Sam?
I get stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
Talking about Sam, the Armenian comedian who joins us on the phone on the Kevin DeBean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Let's not forget, this is where it all began for Sam, is right here on K-Rock. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Well, we're fine.
I think we're fine.
Sam, I got an email from the director of your film, the Born High movie, which, by the way, is so great, and I can't wait for it to become widely available so that people can see it. But Matt emailed us over the weekend and said that there was big news with you having to do with Last Comic Standing. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, man, it's so like I would like to tell you one thing. I'm the next Sopranos and Scarface, everything. I want to do everything.
You're well, the next Sopranos?
Where comedians go. Yeah.
I want to start another mobster movie, you know?
Oh, you want your own mobster TV series?
Yes.
Would it be like the Armenian Mafia?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds...
They cut off feet.
Amazing. Yeah.
Is there an Armenian Mafia, Sam?
Oh, man, that's where it started. The Italian copied us.
The Italians copied the Armenians when it came to the Cosa Nostra.
Right.
I see.
Huh.
Is there anything the Armenians didn't invent, Sam?
Even the yogurt is why, but it's been invented by the Armenians and the cheese and everything. But the yogurt is supposed to be Armenian, but he was in Turkey and they didn't allow him to say mazun because they Turkish and everything pressed. They wanted to erase us from the...
Right, right. Why is it that you can't talk to any Armenian without the Turkish genocide coming up in the first 90 seconds, Sam?
Well, they're still sore about it.
Well, I have to say that because this is my problem. I have to be the
spokesperson?
The hero of our legend. I'm the hero of our legend.
You're the hero of the legend.
Yes.
Okay. All right. But most Armenians that we know that hear you on our show say that you in no way represent them, and they don't want people to think that you are similar to them.
Well, this is what's going on. They think that when I do my stuff, they think that everybody's supposed to be me. I don't think so. They are not me. I'm not them. I'm me.
All right. I cannot argue with that.
We've established that. All right, let's get back to Last Comic Standing. Now, do I understand correctly from your director of the movie, Matt, that you are auditioning in Miami for the show?
I'm flying this Friday and coming back next Tuesday.
Okay, we don't need your itinerary. We need to know what's going to happen. You're going to go down there and audition for the TV show?
Yeah.
And is it what's the procedure like? Is it just a stage and you get up in front of judges like on American Idol and you do a 5 minutes of comedy? Have they advised you as to what they're going to be expecting from you, Sam?
I really don't know because I never done this before. But what I assume is maybe it's going to be representing international. This is supposed to be international, she says, when she talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be other nationalities competing also.
Yeah, oh, I see. They did that last season. They went to England and Australia and a bunch of other places to find comedians from all over the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a big break. I mean, I know you've had lots of big breaks in the past and you've blown them all, but I mean, this is one that really has potential. It seems like it's right up your alley. Are you giving a lot of extra thought to the material that you will choose to use for your audition?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to choose that. My opening line is, you think you got Iraqi war, you think you have the presidential election problem changing and all that. I'm here to change everything, and I'm here to be on the stage because I ran away from, Iraqi war. You think you have, I have a war at home with these women around me is causing me problems. Which is my sister-in-laws and my sisters, they are all in war at my own home. So I got away from that. That's another war. That's my opening line.
That's your big opening
line. Yeah. Opening line.
Nice.
You know, that's fresh stuff, too, mining that differences between men and women at home relationship stuff. You can't miss with that, Sam. I think that's a gold mine.
It's killing me.
Yeah, no one's doing
killing
that.
Killing me, too.
All right. Well, listen, we're out of time, but, Sam, we just wanted to get the update. So you are flying to Miami for this weekend. You will be auditioning, and I guess if it goes well, then we'll see you on the TV and perhaps on further episodes of Last Comic Standing on NBC, right?
Yes, and then no matter how much I grow up, I will never forget you guys.
Well, we appreciate that,
Sam. Thank you,
Sam. Do you think you're going to go all the way and win the competition?
I'm going to win everybody. That's what I attempt to.
Okay.
Qualified yes, I think is what we got from Sam.
All right.
All right. Very good, Sam. Hey, let us know next week. Get back in touch. Let us know how it went, okay?
And then, guys, I would like to tell you another thing that you guys helped me tremendously through all these years, and then especially on my debut movie.
Yeah, we had a big party for your premiere, your movie.
Yeah, and the movie's great. Again, I know we hate you, and our listeners do as well, but the movie is fantastic. Again, it's called Born High, and we'll let you know when that comes out. All right, Sam, we got another guest lined up, so we got to go. But good luck in Miami. Let us know how it goes, all right?
Thank you, you guys. I can't wait to see you again.
Sam, do you have a joke before we go? A real quick joke?
Oh, God, don't do that, Ralph. Please don't do that.
No, you got to go out with a laugh. He's a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
One real quick joke, Sam.
Okay, why did the rooster run away from goddamn farm?
No idea why.
Because he doesn't want to catch the chicken flu.
I think that's a bird flu, I think.
No, it's good. Right. I liked it.
Good closer, Sam.
Ralph, I didn't know you liked The House. I didn't know that was a show that
you know.
You never
it's my
that
favorite show on television, and I have a huge man crush on you, Lori.
There is a new episode of House tonight. I know it seems unlikely with everything, with the strike and everything that's going on, but tonight at 9 on the Fox Network after American Idol, House returns. We're so excited to welcome our next guest back to the Kevin Beach Show. He is one of the quote unquote new doctors on the House TV show. He is Cal Penn. He plays Dr. Lawrence Kuttner on the show. Good morning, Cal. Welcome back
to
K Rock, my friend.
How are you?
Well, we couldn't be more excited about a new episode tonight, and this is how screwy the schedule is. This is the House Christmas episode we're going to see this evening, right?
It is, yes.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Cal.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. It's actually early for next year.
I see.
Now, you're a guy who's been so successful with all the movies, but I just am assuming that an opportunity like House comes up and you go, man, that's the best ensemble on TV. I got to get me some of that, right?
Yep, absolutely. We heard that they were adding a couple of cast members, and I was like, man, let me audition for this, please. And it was, two auditions over the course of, like, 5 or 6 weeks, and then we didn't find out for another couple of weeks, and then we found out they added 40 new cast members, and only three of us were staying. I'm like, oh, man.
It's like the show itself. They started paring down from all you guys, right?
It did. They didn't tell us who was staying and who was going.
Seriously.
So honestly, every week we would open the script to the last page to see who got fired.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
No, it was nuts. It was really nuts.
Well, congratulations. You made it as one of House's new staff, and you get to work with that smoking hot Olivia Wilde, too, at 13. Oh, that's
not too bad. That's great.
You get to go act against you, Lori, and hang out with Olivia Wilde. You're the luckiest man in show business, Cal.
Thank you.
Now, everyone we have on from House, and we've been fortunate over the years to talk to quite a few of the cast members, everyone to a man is so in awe of how Hugh Laurie is able to be Dr. Gregory House. Like, it's such a remarkable performance, and he's not even doing it in his native accent.
Yeah, no, he is the nicest guy, and I think if you want to look at the comparison, just look at... So he started out as a British actor doing theater, and he has these two comedy series in the UK. One is called Fry and Laurie. I forget what the other one's called, but if you want to look at a contrast, I mean, it's just undecipherable to him in those series versus him in House. That's how amazing the transformation is. And that first day when all 40 of us showed up to work, he could have easily just been like, all right, well, only three of you guys are sticking around, so I'm not even going to talk to you till later. And he introduced himself to each of us, said, welcome to the show. It's a bummer that all 40 of you can't stay. And he really meant it, That kind of character was huge, especially when you've got, 40 insecure actors who aren't sure what's
going
on.
No kidding.
Yeah. Now, one of the other great things about House, and I think we got a clip here that will demonstrate exactly what I'm talking about, is you're going to have to memorize and deliver authentically dialogue like on no other show. Check it out.
Forgot to mention, final case. Get it right, you're hired. Runner-up will be decided strictly on some definition of merit.
Endocarditis.
Hemorrhagic lesions in the lungs and gut. Bronchiolitis obliterans. He smoked his airways into oblivion.
Endocarditis.
I already said that.
I heard of it before you mentioned it.
Speed counts. Find something else.
How hard is it to play and talk Dr. Cal?
It's tough, but the writers help us out. The front of the script has a dictionary of all of the really long words and how to pronounce them. And then all of us, one of our head writers, David Foster, he's actually a Harvard Medical School professor who's one of our writers. And then all of us have, stacks of medical books in our dressing rooms and stuff. So it's a cool challenge, to be honest with you. And I have cousins who are doctors who would totally kick my butt if I didn't do it properly.
Now, this is Cal Penn on the phone. We're talking about tonight's new episode of House at 9 o'clock on Fox. I couldn't help but notice from the previews that one of my favorite TV crushes, Janelle Maloney, who of course played Donna on The West Wing for all those seasons, is your patient tonight. So you worked with her on the show tonight. How's she smell, Cal?
Oh, no! Stop it,
Bean. I just...
Sorry, Cal.
She was awesome.
No need to answer that.
I'm gonna pretend you said what would she like to work with.
Excellent. Do what we do. Just ignore him and answer something else. Good idea. Right.
I'm a doctor on that show. I'm not doing anything to get her out of bed. I'll tell you that. Just let her stay.
She's bleeding from the eyes, Bean. That's not sexy.
I can look past that.
She's on tonight's episode, and then Sunday night is Mira Sorvino.
Oh, yeah, nice. That's right.
Yeah, and then next Tuesday is Laura Silverman, who she's Sarah Silverman's sister, but a fine actress and comedian in her own right. So we've got three great, talented women for all these three episodes.
And if only you could one day go back to work and make more shows, then your life would be perfect.
I hope the strike ends soon, and I you know, we're all aching to go back to work, so.
You know, a show like House is so well written, and I think that's really, apart from all the great actors, that's really the strength of the show, is how they keep coming up with amazing episode after amazing episode.
Yeah.
It really makes you sort of appreciate the writers and what they're going through when you have to go without this kind of television, Cal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us, too, you know, we really hope they get what they deserve and that we all, you know, we get to come back and do it again, because they're completely amazing, so humble, very talented.
Well, I know you have a busy schedule of interviews. I know you have to go. I did want to mention, Cal, since we have you on, that I rented your namesake movie over the holidays. Really enjoyed it, too.
Thank you.
A really sweet movie and a totally different role than the stuff I've seen you in before. So I really, really enjoyed it and recommend that to the listeners if they want to see kind of a sweet romantic comedy with Cal Penn, too.
Nice. Thanks for seeing it.
You bet, man. House is back tonight at 9 after American Idol. Fantastic show. Cal, great to have you on K-Rock. Thanks for stopping by.
You too. Thank you.
Lisa, was I alone on this show and watching the State of the Union, or did you peep it out a little bit last night?
I didn't watch it. I listened to clips this morning and also to people trying to discern what was true and what was not, which was interesting.
It may be the cheapest applause in America is when the president shows up for the State of the Union. It's just tradition. You got to go crazy as if you even like the guy.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
It was his last State of the Union address, of course, last night, and we've got the president on the phone with us right now from the White House. Good morning, Mr. Bush.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Congratulations on the speech. It seemed like it went over pretty well last night, sir.
Yep. Got a lot of applause. People very happy for me. I think I did a good job. Gave me a lot of applause, even that Nancy Pelosi.
Pelosi,
the Speaker of the House,
yeah,
right?
Whatever. She shook my hand and gave me much, much mad props.
Right. I think it's because she now knows that you'll be in office for less than a year, sir.
Really?
Now, I had a couple things I wanted to ask you about the speech last night, if you don't mind, sir. And number one is, well, listen to the clip.
Let us increase the use of renewable power and emissions-free nuclear power.
Okay. It's been so
Absolutely.
Many years.
We should do that.
Right. It's been so many years since you've been in the White House. I thought maybe you would wow the nation by coming out last night and saying the word nuclear.
Blow me. What are you going to do, write a strongly worded letter?
Well, it does seem like, I don't know, it's a pretty common word that lots of people know and lots of people use. It shouldn't be that hard for you to say,
sir. It doesn't really matter how you say it when you have your finger on the button. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And which button is that, Mr. President?
The nuclear button.
That's what I thought you meant. That's the thing, yeah. Did you feel like you were over-promising last night what you're able to get accomplished as a lame duck president in the next year?
No, not at all. I think these are things we can get done, and the American people expect us to get it done, and I think we can do it.
Right, but a lot of the stuff people would say you've had 7 years to get done, maybe you could have gotten some of it done then instead of saving it all for the last year when you were worried about your legacy.
I was a little busy fighting a war we can't win. It takes up a lot of time. But now I'm going to forget that, and I'm going to do some things that I know we can accomplish.
What sorts of things are you going to try to get done in your final year in the White House?
From now on, all Americans were poop gold.
We're going to poop gold.
Yep. Gold's on the rise. Gold is going up. Gold has a lot of worth. It's going to help the economy. You just poop gold out.
But you can't just wave a magic wand and people all of a sudden start pooping gold. Mr. President, it doesn't work that way. That's not how our bodies operate.
Or can I?
Well, no. You just can't.
Or can I?
All right, so let's assume you get everybody pooping gold. Then what?
Then we got to sift.
You all right?
No, not yet. Still working on that gold thing.
I see. Okay.
What?
I thought I pooped,
and there was no gold. It was just poop.
All right, but right, it is going to happen.
I thought maybe you had something else to say.
No, I thought maybe there were other things that you were going to try to accomplish in the final year. Or is pooping gold, is that it?
No, that's just one of them.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
If I can work it'd be great. Out.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, more nudity. I'd like more nudists in America.
Just in general?
Just in general. Just people being naked.
But that does not sound like the George Bush we know. I thought you were really kind of a modest private person when it comes to stuff like that.
That was me, you know, when I was trying to get votes. Mm. I love boobies. I'd like to see more boobies.
Wow, how about that?
That is new.
How else can, you know, unless a president can make that happen, who can make it happen? So I'd like to see more boobies.
Okay.
You have my support, sir. If you can figure out a way to get that going in this country, I'm with you.
Except for my mom. I'd like her to keep her clothes
on.
Oh.
So would we.
Oh, well, no, we agree.
I don't
want to
see that naked.
No, that's
and,
true.
And also, I'd like to wage a war I could win before I go out.
Okay.
So I'm declaring today we are declaring war on Rhode Island.
But that's a state. That's part of the Union. You can't fight yourself.
Or is it?
Well, yeah.
It was yesterday.
There's a terrorist cell in Rhode Island.
Okay, then just arrest those guys. Don't take down the whole state.
That is the whole state. There's only like 8 people in the state.
It is kind of a small state.
You're gonna nuke them. Everybody you know, remember that big crater where Rhode Island used to be.
Well, that'll certainly be your legacy, I guess, yeah.
Yep.
I have to ask, Mr. President, I was watching the State of the Union last night, and of course, you know, that's all about being presidential, and you don't get involved in the election. But the commentators on the TV couldn't help but point out that all the people who, you know, most of the people who are trying to take your job were there in the chamber. They, you know, had Barack Obama over there, and they had Hillary Clinton over there. And I was just wondering if you have any feelings on the people who are running for your job to succeed you as president.
Well, I wish them all luck. It's a difficult job, but it's
certainly
it's an honor and a privilege to serve the American people. Mm-hmm. Are you asking me to endorse someone?
No, I'm just wondering. Yeah, I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about any of the various candidates. Anyone maybe you like or don't like or would recommend or not?
Well, I'm awfully impressed by Ross Perot. I think he's real good.
He is not running so much as he ran in 1992.
Hmm. All right, who else you got?
Well, there's. I mean, how about the young senator from Illinois? How about Barack Obama? He seems to be on a roll right now.
Yes, I like him enormously. Mm-hmm. Well, I like half of him.
I don't think we should pursue that.
I think, is Heath Ledger running? He's been in the news a lot. I really don't read the papers, but I understand he's been in the news a lot. I'd like to see him vote.
I don't.
Or run or do something.
Yeah, I don't believe
he's not really doing anything
now. Laying there, isn't he?
yeah,
he's
much.
Not.
Lazy Australians.
Oh, I don't,
up.
Again.
Get up, Heath Ledger.
That's not appropriate at all, Mr. President.
Too soon?
Yeah.
By the way, Ralph, I forgot to tell you that a fuel truck, I don't know if you saw this story on the news a couple of days ago, a fuel truck in Walla Walla, Washington, crashed into a chartered bus full of Special Olympics athletes. And fortunately, Eli Manning is fine. So the good news there is no danger.
Wow.
Because he... Because
he's just walking on a fine line, isn't he?
Wow. Speaking of the Super Bowl,
trying
we'll talk
to make
to our
a
friend.
Joke out of special kids being hit by a fuel truck.
I know.
But Eli Manning was on the
whatever
bus because
whatever with the punchline. That's a horrible, horrible story.
Everybody was fine. No one was hurt.
Lucky for you.
And if they were, yeah, who'd miss him? Speaking of the Super Bowl, Rich Eisen, our friend from the NFL Network, joins us in the 7 o'clock hour. Plus, we have a Dave and Yasmin update. There could be trouble in paradise. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
I think I've got jury duty with my ailing father tomorrow. I don't think I can come back here for a
like,
while.
Where are your days off? Is that what you're
for
asking?
For a while. That's what I'm saying. I need a little mental health day. Speaking of mental health... Barbara Walters has an inside scoop about Britney Spears she reviewed on The View yesterday. Apparently, Sam Lufty, who I'm starting to believe is the Howard K. Stern to Britney Spears, as Howard K. was to Anna Nicole, he gave her an inside scoop, according to Barbara, saying that Britney is seeing a psychologist and has mental issues which are treatable.
Anna?
Well, I'm glad he's out there talking about it. That helps.
I think she does need a luftiectomy, I think is what she needs. That's the best treatment she could have. According to TMZ.com, she and Sam Lufty had a huge fight yesterday to the point where Britney left the car in tears going into her home and then reportedly called Adnan Galigi
oh, dude, bro, dude.
To come pick her up. He went to the house to get her,
And then he wasn't allowed in the gates because Sam Lufty had left specific word that he was not allowed to come in and get Brittany and pick her up.
This is interesting.
They are fighting over her like vultures. Yeah. It's kind of creepy.
Power struggle.
Tyra Banks says she wants to marry her boyfriend, but he hasn't proposed. Yeah, I wonder why.
Well, this will help, though.
Maybe he's heard you talk. According to Star Magazine, the 37-year-old... whore wants to settle down with her boyfriend John Udinol, but he is not popping the question yet and doesn't know if he has any plans too soon.
I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
Maybe he'll marry her if she gets her cords cut, like those dogs, you know, and the dog won't start barking. They take him into the vet and they get their vocal cords cut.
Right.
Then maybe. Couldn't hurt. Consider it.
Wasn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
Does it echo on
Tyra?
Yeah. Bean and I. Same time.
Lisa, do you watch The Trading Spaces? Is that one of the shows that you like to watch?
Not often, but I have seen it, yeah.
Remember Paige Davis, the host of that show?
Yes.
She was adorable.
She was.
I didn't watch a lot of those home improvement shows, but I always watched her because I thought she was sort of sexy and cute and funny. She was booted off that show because there were photos of her that were revealed on the internet of her dancing on a bar in a nightclub.
Well, I've done that.
The show thought that she was perhaps too racy, and they didn't need the publicity for the show. But apparently they're welcoming her back on January 26th. She's going to remain to come back as the host of Trading Spaces.
I've seen the ads for it.
Yeah.
She is adorable.
She is just so cute.
So the ratings went down without her, in other words.
Exactly. That's what happened.
Bastards.
By the way, what's going on in this country where you dance on a bar, so now you're not qualified to do a TV show about home remodels?
About painting your bathroom.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
She wasn't even naked.
I know. That's what pissed me off. I would have given her own show if she had been naked. Speaking of big TV shows, Dancing with the Stars, starting to leak about who the contestants will be for next season, season number 5.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear God.
According to TV Guide, two young women are already in the running for contestant spots. Monica Seles,
okay.
Legendary tennis great, and former Charlie's Angel Cheryl Ladd.
I'd watch her. Show.
I'd watch her, too.
Yeah. She still looks good.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that's the case. Casting news for the upcoming action film G.I. Joe, based on the legendary toy and cartoon. The real American hero, G.I. Joe! Love that show.
I don't know if you know this, Ralph, but knowing is half the battle.
Knowing is half the battle.
Oh,
here's,
Lord.
You're going to know what the cast is. Dennis Quaid has been cast as General Hawk, the leader of the Joe team. Channing Tatum has been cast as Duke.
Nice.
The rest of the cast, which would be an ensemble in the action piece, apparently includes Marlon Wayans.
Okay.
He's going to play the black dude.
The black guy who always rhymes.
Always
everything
rhymes,
he says.
Always talks in rap, practically. Yeah. Jordan, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, nice.
All right. I like him.
Remember her from Third Rock in the Sun? They went on to be in a bunch of very successful independent films. Sienna Miller.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
And Rachel Nichols, apparently.
No. Nice.
No way.
Yeah, you have movie. To see it.
Yeah, Beat's actually going to see an action film.
Yep.
Yes, I am.
He's going to have to get those nudicles implanted. You know, those fake testicles that they give dogs after they get neutered?
Yeah.
He's going to have some a sack implant, but then he'll be able to go to see an action
film.
Well,
the surgery, he'll reject the surgery because his body's so effeminate. He'll have to just get one of those, like, testicle trailer hitches that you see rednecks driving around with.
Yes,
just attached to his body with, like, a Christmas hook.
Look, just because I didn't go see Rambo doesn't make me less than a man.
It's not that you just didn't go see Rambo.
You've never seen a Rambo.
Or a Terminator.
Well, they're not for me.
We rest our case.
Yeah, exactly. They're for guys. That's what we're saying. Jimmy Page says if it's up to him, there will be a Led Zeppelin reunion tour later this year.
No
great
kidding.
News.
Yeah.
Wow.
He said that they put so much work into their show in London that it only makes sense to go out on the road now that they got their chops back and they know all the songs and stuff. But he says Robert Plant still has a tour to do with Alison Krauss first in the summer, so a Zepp tour, if it does happen, won't be until the fall. But there's still hope for you Zepp fans. You can see the band live again after 25 years.
Robert Plant has spent every minute since that band broke up in around 1980 basically trying to put as much distance between himself and it as possible. He rejects it so, and I don't know why. If I'm the lead singer of Led Zeppelin, I go with that.
Well, it looks like they may be coming back.
I hope so.
And Courtney Love is having man problems. Huh. Who'd have thunk it? Courtney, who cannot help herself but talk about her life, posted a blog on her MySpace page saying she just went through a tough love relationship and she's learned a lesson in self-reliance and thanked God for her guardian angels who helped her through it. While calling the male species, this is her quote, testerical asses. Testerical asses, he calls them. Yeah. I'm sure it was his fault, whatever went wrong in that relationship. That's what I'm sure. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in a relationship with that?
I think the strangest Hollywood relationship in history is still, and it still baffles me, is Courtney Love and Edward Norton, who were together for a couple of years. I cannot get my head around what they would have to talk about on the first date, much less for a long-term relationship.
He's got to be a giver. He's got to be a giver and a fixer. That's what I'm guessing. Today's celebrity birthday is Heather Graham. Somebody I'd like to give to and fix. She is 38 years old today. Oprah Winfrey is 54 years old today. Tommy Ramone of the Ramones turns 56. And Tommy Selleck of Magnum P.I. fame. Now you can see him on Las Vegas over there on NBC. He is 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Of course, for the grand prize drawing, we do Friday for Paramore in Berlin.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. My fingerless gloves are already itching up to go.
Speaking of Dave, the King of Mexico, as you know, 9/11 Part 2, which is what it has become known as, is Dave and Yasmeen, Miss Double December 2006, hooking up over the holidays. Dave, a phone screener here at K-Rock. Yasmeen, one of the hottest women we know. In fact, I think there was even a song about it from Dave, right?
I'm bringing Mexi back. Yeah. Somehow I got Yasmeen into the sack. Yeah. Even though she has tattoos on her back. Yeah. She gave me some, cause I'm a Mac. Yeah. Tell them about your game. Donnie Game got fingerless gloves. Donnie Game got an emo sweater. Donnie Game, I can barely speak English.
Barely speak it.
I'm King of Mexico. Yeah. You know I bang all them hoes. Yeah. When they need pee-pee, they know where to go. Yeah. They go to King of Mexico. Who's the man? Donnie Game, I can't say wolf. Donnie Game got plenty of foreskin. Donnie Game just like the Clippers. Hey, it's King of Mexico. Kevin and Bean, they think I don't got game. But the hoes, they keep coming back for more. That's right. Go get yourself a pair of fingerless gloves. And we out.
Apparently that's the answer, is the fingerless gloves. Let's dial up the beautiful Yasmeen right now, because I understand as a result of you guys running into the couple at Santa Anita over the weekend for K-Rock Microbrew Day, I understand there's trouble in paradise a little bit, it sounds like.
Sure looks like it to me.
Yeah, so we got to find out what that is. I mean, not that we're going to be surprised when it does.
While your party is reached.
Welcome to my sexy party. Have a breast milk with a dash of Bacardi.
And Stewie is a ringback.
That's awesome.
Shoes or the weather and everyone's health.
We're all celebrating. I told her to do that.
Hello.
Hey, Yasmeen.
Hi, Yas.
Hi.
How are you, sweetheart?
Good.
What are you wearing?
Just a smile.
That's what I'm talking about. Mike, why don't you tell us what you observed Saturday at Santa Anita, and that put the fear of the potential breakup between Yasmeen into our heads.
Well, I walked over and Yasmeen was talking to Ralph, and his mouth was agape at the story she was telling about her warning Dave in advance that she was going to be partying with her female friends on Friday night and would most likely get drunk and, of course, would subsequently want penis. So she says, Dave, leave your phone on because I'm going to be drunk and I'm going to need me some. She then called Dave 6 times that night, and King of Mexico did not answer. He slept through all of the calls.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes, is that accurate?
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Wow. So, what did you think?
There's a first time for everything. So I was kind of like, he's really taking this no game game way too far, but I was fine. I just kept drinking, and I played guitar for a couple hours. I passed out and kind of got over it. But
this is why Yaz is the perfect woman, by the way. And I mean, she's a perfect woman in many respects, but she gives a guy a heads up. I'm going to be drunk and horny, so all you have to do is answer the phone, and I'll be right over. I mean, that's basically. I mean, you were basically saying guarantee, right?
Oh yeah, I told him at least a day in advance. I'm like, look. This is the deal, so pick up your phone, that's it.
And no, stupid.
He should never have gone to sleep.
I couldn't help it. I was tired. I did lots of stuff in the day. I was tired.
Yes, I was saying yesterday when the guys were telling me this story, if it were me, I would be out on the front porch waiting for you, just begging, you know, just praying for you to show up, like counting the seconds until you arrive. How can Dave already be so jaded by having sex with you?
I don't know. You know what? The next morning he called. He's like, I'm so sorry. I was so tired. The bunker was so cold. I was just passed out. And I'm like,
Is it like a bear hibernating?
And I'm just like, you know, any other guy would have like written him off like, okay, that was cool, but it's Dave, so I forgave him.
Well, he's just lucky you didn't go out and find someone else.
You know, I his no game game is so strong that it kind of rubbed off on me, and I don't think I have game anymore.
You guys, no, I mean, you do make fun, but did you hear what she just said? If it was any other guy, I probably would have written him
you know
off
what?
And never
talked.
Dave's no game game is strong.
How is he,
it's way strong.
Get,
I mean, his
how
game.
How did he get to be Teflon Dave? I don't understand why ignoring a woman and not coming through when she needs it. How is that? How does that make the relationship work?
Well, there's a fine line. I have to say, if he's too eager, that's not attractive either. You know, if he really were on the porch like Bean would be, panting, then that would not be interesting, which is why she wasn't calling Bean.
No, right. You have to take into account it's Dave. He doesn't know. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, God, Dave is so awesome. And then he'll say something like, oh, I just love to get so drunk. I don't know what's going on. It's my favorite. And I'm like, honestly, really? It's Dave. He's just different.
Well,
but
and we know he has sleeping trouble.
What?
And we know he sleeps at the drop of a hat anywhere, anytime,
I mean,
anyplace.
I think Dave is a lot smarter and a lot more savvy than we're giving him credit for.
Is he crazy like a fox? Is
yeah,
that what you
I mean,
say?
I think
is
he plays the, oh, I'm so nice. No, I just like to listen to you when other guys are not going to listen. I'm the communicator guy. I will listen to you and we will eat Taco Bell. And then just when he's that's laying the fishing line in the ocean. Then his hook is to play the guy who's too good for you and to blow you off every once in a while just to keep him guessing, keep him wanting more.
Or to let her know it's not just about the sex for him.
Yeah, I'm deeper than that.
I won't just be used.
No, I'm deeper.
You know,
I
it's.
I don't think Dave has the common sense yet. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure
out. Or he has no clue how to sustain a relationship because he's never had one.
I think that's it. I mean, I love him, and obviously I'm still having sex with him and talking to him. So, I mean, something's working.
But you get that you are schooling him in how to have a relationship.
You know what? I told Psycho Mike's beautiful wife, I was like, I don't want to be the girl to have to tell him, like, what to do and what to say. I can't be that girl, you know?
Well, then this isn't going to go well.
Trouble in paradise.
No. I just want to call him when I'm best, you know?
Yeah, right. The thing about Dave, by the way, is, I mean, he really is into Yaz, too. I mean, you know, because Dave and I are friends, too. It's not just a sex thing for him. I mean, he really enjoys spending time with her. I mean, it's, I mean, and maybe that's what shows through, even when he maybe is kind of a, you know, kind of an idiot or a burnout or whatever it is, you know, and he drops the ball. At least you know that he's actually sincere and he actually does have feelings for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, we actually spent, well, in my eyes, we spent a lot of time together, and I mean, I'm just getting to know him, and he's actually a really, really good guy.
So, 9/11 part two, you're telling me that they're still flying planes into the building every day, is what it
is. Every day.
It hasn't stopped.
Never. Has
except
not
for
yet.
Friday night.
Except for Friday night.
I think that was kind of like my reality check. I'm like, maybe I'm not that hot. I don't know.
Don't let him get into your head like that.
Maybe you're not. That's right. Maybe you don't deserve me. I'm going to continue flying planes into that building, and this plane doesn't have a mushroom tip.
Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air, 323-520-AFRO. You think of something that we need to know about, you call, leave it on the machine, we play it back. Sometimes people just can't, they can't help themselves but call and leave a joke.
Why is a brown chicken and a brown cow the sexiest animal in the world? Because when you see them, you say brown chicken, brown cow.
Come on. Speaking of the Super Bowl, that's what this call's about.
Eli, get up. Eli, get up. It's time for the big game. What are you doing? I can't, I'm wearing sticky. I can't get up, I'm wearing sticky.
Lister calling about one of the hot new bands that I think is playing Coachella.
Hey, it's the request line. I was just calling to request a song from that new band, Blood Mustache. I think I'd like to hear that right now.
That is not sexy. Someone heard an ad for the Rambo movie.
Just saw a commercial for a Rambo movie. And it's the Super Bowl of action movies, so now I have to go see it. The Super Bowl of action movies. It is me. Panties, 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 panties.
Because I hate that word.
Yeah, it's your favorite. Unfortunately, the number is public, 323-520-AFRO, so there's no way to stop the Armenian comedian from calling.
Why global warming? Because Mother Nature is in heat.
Oh, I hope he uses that one.
That's cool.
Last Comic Standing.
The Last Comic Standing audition? Sure. Yeah. Someone call and make it a joke about a moment with Kevin from a few days ago.
I just heard they added a new band to Coachella. I think Strider's Reich is opening up. Be there.
Yeah, that was Kevin's favorite. All right, I'm warning you now that we can't hold back the floodgates on the Heath Ledger comedy for too much longer. In fact, I think this is it. I think it's been long enough now that we've got our listeners are bursting at the seams, and they've got to say it.
So, was it Batman that killed the Joker?
Oh.
Dusan?
Oh.
And then...
Heath Ledger, huh? I guess he finally figured out a way to quit us.
Oh. Okay, see, because, help. Mm. And then there's this.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you heard about Heath Ledger, but they say it's drugs. I don't think so. I think he choked on a big, beefy, spicy sausage.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, is this too early?
I think it may be too soon.
I feel bad.
And I do, too. And finally, the great David Bowie himself checked in with a Heath Ledger comment.
Oh. Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills.
All
Heath
right.
Ledger took too many pills.
Got it.
Heath Ledger took too many pills.
Okay.
Heath Ledger took too many pills.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, how about Super Bowl 42 on Sunday? How about that, ladies and gentlemen?
It is the greatest event of the year by far. It's the best.
It is
the best day ever.
I think it's officially become an American holiday.
It's better than Christmas.
It certainly has. Rich Eisen, of course, our pal from the NFL Network, on the line right now with 213 hours of pregame for this year's Super Bowl.
Not enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rich Eisen.
Not enough programming.
Thank you very much. Well, there's no such thing as excessiveness at the Super Bowl, and we're about to live that firsthand as Tuesday at the Super Bowl is officially media day.
Yeah.
You could say every day is media day at the Super Bowl, technically, but today in itself, in about a half an hour from now, I will be hosting a show from the field here at University of Phoenix Stadium for an hour and a half long. It's the New England Patriots speaking first, and then the Giants speak second, and we in the media for 60 of those 90 minutes get a chance to interview anybody we want and ask them any question, no matter how stupid or inappropriate it may be.
Speaking of the media, I read the New York Newsday article this morning. Some of it was about the NFL Network and their coverage this week. And they said there are over 4,000 media credentials handed out for the Super Bowl in Arizona this weekend.
It makes sense. I mean, all you need to do basically is pass a security vetting and have a pulse. And you get yourself a press pass to the Super Bowl, or at least media day, that is for sure. I don't know the game itself. But media day, I mean, seriously, it's all walks of life from every country on this beautiful planet of ours. It really does kick off the week in that respect. And then Wednesday is the day that virtually everyone has nothing to do with the game comes into town. All the players in the league that didn't make the Super Bowl coming in and pitching antiperspirant or
talk about their charity.
Right. Yeah. Thursday is the day that the musical talent comes into town. That's when Tom Petty will arrive, along with Alicia Keys. 50 Cent will be here. Then Friday is just usually when things begin to wind down. It's the last day the coaches are made available to the media. Saturday is the day the Hall of Fame announces, which is the newest Hall of Famers to get into the class of Canton next August. And then Sunday is actually, game.
Yeah.
Rich, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, this two-week lull between the championship games and the Super Bowl?
Oh, it's great, actually. You need the extra week. It is something that is necessary for the players to get well, for the players to catch their breath. Anytime I've come across a player who used to play in a Super Bowl without that extra week, they said it was completely a whole different ball of wax. Just imagine the Giants with that big win in Green Bay, and they were on the road. If they had to go from Green Bay right to Arizona and get right into the swing of things, it would have been a totally different scenario. And then for television-wise, the extra week pushes the Super Bowl into that golden sweeps month of February.
That's right.
And the the business aspect of that, I don't think, could be overlooked.
Speaking of Green Bay, by the way, the game that they lost to the New York Giants last weekend, or the weekend before now, whenever it was, I don't know if I know Rich will know this. I don't know if our listeners are aware how unbelievable the ratings were for that game. It was the highest rated show on television since last year's Super Bowl. It was bigger than the Oscars. It was bigger than any of the American Idol shows, including the finale.
Even bigger than American Idol.
Even bigger than American Idol. I mean, that's unbelievable. How much of that carries over into, of course, the Super Bowl is always the biggest show of the year anyway, but I mean, are even people who are the most casual of football fans, are they going to be tuning in to see the Patriots maybe blow it?
Yeah, exactly. I think America loves to rubberneck more than anything else, as we know. Everyone wants to come in and see if the Patriots are going to do it or not. I would venture to say that the rating would have been even higher had Brett Favre made the game with Green Bay, and it would have brought the entire Midwest of the country in with a sincere and large rooting interest. This is now, as you know, a Northeast battle. It's an Amtrak battle between New England and New York. It's still a huge scenario that's getting ready to play out on Sunday. And with over, as you mentioned, 55 million homes tuning into a Sunday night game, for all the NFC marbles, you'd think that the whole Super Bowl would definitely garner a huge audience. And I know every time the Patriots play, my wife emails me, Tom Brady is so hot.
Doesn't hurt.
So there's that going for this game too.
Right. The by the way, the NFL Network, we're speaking with Rich Eisen on the phone here on KROQ this morning, is going to be re-airing the Super Bowl where the Dolphins beat the Redskins. I guess that was Super Bowl at 7, I want to say. And that's the one that gave them the completion of their perfect season. So you're showing that on Sunday ahead of this Super Bowl as the Patriots try to repeat.
Oh yeah, I mean we're showing all sorts of Super Bowls. I just saw the one that the Giants beat John Elway and the Broncos last night. We're showing virtually everyone that the Patriots have won the last decade, and you know that's the neat part about what we do. And also just with us, we're already looking towards our next gig. Actually, I go to the Pro Bowl the Monday. After the game, the morning after the game, I'm already on a plane heading west to Hawaii. Not a very tough gig, but it is one that I will be doing. And then 8 days after that is the NFL Scouting Combine, where all the scouts are together looking at the prospect to be drafted this coming April. So everyone's already, you know, looking forward to the 2008 season, even though the 2007 season technically hasn't ended yet.
And, Rich, I got to give you guys props. When draft time comes around, you guys, your draft coverage is just brilliant. I just sit on the couch just watch it all weekend long. It's outstanding.
Yeah, I appreciate that, you know, and I look forward to that, too. I mean, really, it's one of those things where I take a deep breath in mid-August when training camp pretty much concludes, and I let it out in April at the draft. You know, the NFL is getting become a year-long venture, and, you know, that's what network's all about, and that's what my book Total Access is all about, too, me going from event to event, you know.
Yeah, that Total Access, Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe, we had you on when you were promoting that book when it first came out. I loved it so much, as I told you on the air, that I actually sent my copy to Ralph to make sure that he had one and make sure he had a chance to read it, because it is so fun.
It's a great book, really.
So funny. You know, it's so funny, Rich, when I brought you on, I was kind of making fun, although it happens to be true that you're doing 213 hours of NFL Total Access leading up to the game. But the way you describe it, I mean, it's really like, you know, 8 months leading up to the game is what you do. I mean, that's
exactly
what you're all about. It is funny. One more thing I wanted to add, because you talk about all the old Super Bowls. I saw some of the Super Bowl 22 from 20 years ago this January. Redskins beat the Broncos. I saw some of that the other day. And what really strikes you, besides the fact that you see all these players that you had totally forgotten existed, what really strikes you is how many advances have been made in the coverage of the game in terms of miking, in terms of cameras, in terms of angles, in terms of announcing, the data that's available. I mean, it just seems like you're watching something from the 1600s when you watch some of those old games.
Exactly. And then we aired Super Bowl III the other day between the Jets and the Colts. And that, in particular, it really is jarring to see for various aspects of it. I have now completely become used to seeing the clock ever-present. I'm wondering, you know, because there's always something at the top of your screen that shows what the score is and how much time is left in the game and what quarter. And back in those days, they didn't have it. And then another neat aspect of that game, actually, too, is how radical at the time it was to see a black quarterback play in the game. That was the game that Doug Williams won.
Yeah.
And now it is totally not an issue. You know,
that's right.
And it is pretty neat to see the advancements on every level, actually, in the sport as well as the TV. But you're right. I mean, sometimes in the Super Bowl III, when they would show a graphic of the guy running the football on a replay, it would take up half the screen. The guy's name would take up the bottom part of the screen. It really is remarkable to see that stuff.
Rich, talk about this weekend. Do you get a sense there, and I've got this too, and I'm not quite sure why, but it seems like outside of New England, there's an enormous sense of people rooting against the Patriots. They don't feel like America's team to me, the way a dominant team used to be with Dallas and the Niners and teams like this. It seems like a lot of people have real negative feelings towards, except for the chicks who think Brady's hot, you know, towards the Patriots.
There's a lot of Patriot hating. Actually, we had Junior Seau and Rodney Harrison, the two old guys from the defense, on our set yesterday. And Rodney Harrison basically said, you know, we're 18-0, and a lot of people, you know, most people, because everybody actually wants to see us go 19-0. And Junior Seau interrupts him and goes, not everybody. and there's a lot of people in this country who... for the lack of a better phrase, it's not just Patriot hating. I think that they just want to see this team challenged, that's for sure. They don't want to see this team coast to a 19th consecutive victory. The most popular games we've seen this year outside of that NFC Championship game that you mentioned with the Packers and the Giants and maybe the Packers and the Cowboys that was on NFL Network back in November, the most popular games this year were the games in which the Patriots were severely tested against the Eagles, against the Ravens, against the Giants on NFL Network too.
Yeah.
And I think everybody wants to see them tested, if not beaten. I think a lot of people would like to see this team taste some defeat, but certainly not in the Northeast. Once you get right around Central Connecticut, that is solid Patriot country, and they can't get enough of this.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful week for football fans, and thank God the NFL Network is here. I mean, it's hard now. It's only been a few years, but it's hard now to imagine life without it, Rich, and you guys do such a great job. I know you personally are on the air for 31 hours this week, and of course, nonstop coverage up to, including, and after the Super Bowl. You'll have all sorts of great football stuff. The NFL Network, you got to get it. Of course, some cable companies still don't see the magic in that, I understand, Rich, but you're working on it.
No, they don't. You need to get me and another official of cable back on together at the same time.
That was good times. That was
a lot of fun.
And by the way, magnanimous of you guys to let everyone see that that last game of the season, the Giants-Patriots, when they were making history. I thought that was very cool of the network to let that go.
Well, the last thing that everybody wanted was to have that game have the sort of asterisk next to it. Great game, but, you know.
Right, exactly.
The fact that it didn't have it was real good.
Yeah.
Rich, have fun in Arizona. Have fun in Hawaii. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thanks for the kind words about the show, the network, and the book. I really appreciate it.
Well done.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Visit LandRoverUSA.com for details. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Wow, Lisa has a traffic sponsor that doesn't involve rubbing some salve on my junk.
Yeah. I was disappointed.
I know.
I was hoping we'd get into athlete's foot.
I was hoping for hemorrhoids this time around.
I had
that in traffic bingo.
Yeah, well, she had jock itch, psoriasis, and diarrhea.
Yes, her, I so did. Far. Her,
herpes
the big three.
Earlier.
Good times, Lisa.
I'm hoping.
What does that say about you?
Come on, hemorrhoids. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
What does it say about our audience?
What does it say about you? People from like nutritional supplements, they contact me, and you know what I'm saying? Like, what does it say about you as a person?
You with all the sores and whatnot
given to me.
That's
to read.
That's what we're saying. They're given to you to read. What does it say about you that they think you should be the spokesperson for some sort of open sore medication?
Means they bought time.
She does seem awfully well versed in each of these topics. That's all I'm suggesting. All right, it's 7:57 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph, give me a heads up before you're done with showbiz, before you get to celebrity birthdays.
Because you want to let Bill Handel know what we're talking about?
Nope. So we could talk about the game that we're playing after 8 o'clock this morning. So we'll tell you about that and give you a chance to win a fantastic prize here on K-Rock on the way. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
A lot of fun stuff going on at the Sundance Film Festival this year. Of course, a lot of celebrities are showing up. A lot of films are being debuted. And Quentin Tarantino nearly missed a party being thrown in his honor at the Sundance Film Festival when the car transporting him and Sandra Oh from Grey's Anatomy broke down on the side of a mountain road. The New York Post says that he had to get one of his coworkers to go get help, and the duo managed to make the red carpet just in time, and they pushed the car apparently out of trouble with Sandra's face. So there was no damage done. Everyone home happy. Good times.
I saw her at the SAG Awards.
Yeah, looking good, Sandra.
It did look like maybe she'd been hit in the face with a tire iron. I did notice that.
And she was wearing a giant bow for a dress.
I saw that.
She was widely panned as worst dress of the evening, which, you know, you gotta like.
You don't have to, but I do.
At least if you're fugly, combo that with being horribly styled.
That's right. The writer's strike slowly grinds on, and CBS now is going to outside help to keep live, fresh television on their network. They've hired a Canadian production team to do a new cop series called Flashpoint. Variety says the series is the first to be developed and ordered since the WGA walked out in November. 13 episodes will be ordered. It'll be written by Canadians, produced by Canadians, starring Canadians, getting around all the issues with the WGA, and then they're going to start airing it in May or June of this year. So we'll see new TV on CBS, thanks to our Canuck friends.
I don't know, of course, anything about that show. I don't know if it's good, but that sure seems like something that would make sense for the networks to go around the world and look for other shows that they can air.
They're going to start outsourcing our TV. That's what's going to start happening.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to suck.
But don't you think there's a lot of shows on the air in Britain, for instance, that they could run here?
Sure. I mean,
there's shows you love on BBC America,
for
instance.
I watch a lot of BBC America, absolutely. But I don't think your average American TV viewer would cotton to a lot of those shows.
Yeah.
I just don't. But Canadians, geez, they're practically Americans.
Yep.
They're close.
Yep.
They like to be. Yeah.
And they love it when you say that, too, by the way.
I bet they do.
Oh, they love it when you
say
that.
It's almost like they voted for George.
You're almost American. No, we're not. Eh? 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 I say that a lot over in Canada. Here's an interesting poll, I thought.
Yeah.
It's in my pants. No. It is, they asked people who use media, this includes television and radio, what do you engage in while viewing or listening to that particular media? So they're saying most people do something else while they're watching television or listening to the radio.
That makes sense, sure.
Here's what the, here's what they said they were doing while they watched television, okay? Number five was talking on the phone.
Hmm.
Number four was cooking.
Yeah.
Number three, doing laundry.
Sure.
Number two, doing other sort of housework. But the number one activity people engage in while watching television?
I know.
Mm-hmm. Do you, Lisa?
Yes. I have a guess.
Eating.
Eating, absolutely.
Eating, yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
It's been number one for like 10 years now every time they do this poll. However, I thought it was interesting when they said people listening to radio, the top three things they do simultaneously while listening to radio. I'm not kidding. This is the actual thing. Number three, read the newspaper.
While they're listening to the
radio. While they're listening to the radio. That's like bean. That's almost too much information.
I can't do that myself.
Number two, spend time online. They're online surfing the internet while they're listening to radio at the same time.
I'm online doing a radio show. I'm online.
That's true. And number one, people who listen to radio, what else are they doing? I thought this was great. Okay. Engaging in other activities. That's what people wrote. Just anything else rather than just having to listen to the radio. They'll do anything else.
I can't just sit and listen to the radio.
No one does. Wallpaper. Look, let's not fool ourselves. We're not a primary source of entertainment for anyone. We're background music.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Unless you're driving somewhere.
Unless you're driving, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But no one just sits there and listens to the radio.
No.
Not like they did in the 30s or whatever when people would see those photos, people gathering around the living room, staring intently at the radio.
I got $10 as a gangly freak on the island does.
Oh, that's true.
I guarantee he does.
He wants to have oral sex with everyone who's on the radio except the people he works with. He loves the radio.
What your hang up is with that, Ralph?
You love everyone
on the
radio.
Mike,
what happened when you guys were at the Dodgers game?
Dave the King of Mexico and I were
having
walking
with Bean,
Mr.
Right?
Mr. Bean Baxter. We were walking up the staircase at Dodger Stadium trying to discuss our plans for the rest of the Dodger game, the Kevin and Bean Dodger Day.
Mm-hmm.
And without talking, he goes, ooh, ooh, John and Ken, and just beelines away from
just
us.
Runs away.
And then
John
Dave
and
I are stuck in the aisle, like uncomfortably in front of people trying to make, you know, not take up space so they could see the game. And Bean is just standing there, all 9'10" of him.
Oh, it's John and Ken. How about those toilet brushes?
He's a radio geek who loves everyone in radio except for the ones he works with.
I like some of the people that we work with here at K-Rock.
Bill Handel stole from us yesterday, and I called him on it, and I was ready to go to war. Bean called him up and said, it's okay. No, it's fine. There's no harm done here. Have some more tape of ours.
That's not what happened at all, Ralph. You exaggerate.
I don't
greatly.
Exaggerate.
You do
not go to lunch regularly with different radio people around the country?
Bill Handel's producer emailed
me. I asked you a question. Do you go to lunch regularly with all different kinds of radio people?
Do I have friends that happen to be in the same business that
do
I am?
Do you go to lunch with radio people?
Do lawyers go to lunch with lawyers? Do doctors go to lunch with doctors? You know people in your own profession.
When's the last time you had lunch with any one of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, or at K-Rock?
I don't care for the people.
Yeah, that's our point, I think.
Fan of the people.
The last time I had a meal with Bean was when we met before one of our events.
Right, when you're forced to. Sometimes when he's forced to, he'll spend some time with
us. Yeah, that's it.
But he seeks out these other radio people. Hey, the guy
does
Twisted Christmas. Let's have a brunch.
Very social.
Bob Rivers, let's spend time together and cuddle.
He's now, good friend of mine.
I only hear about it because I'm not with you guys a lot of times. But when you do those radio roundtables, say for like the VMAs or something like that, what does Bean do immediately when you get done recording or get off the air?
All he wants to do is go to the other radio stations and talk radio with other radio stations with Enjoy Radio.
And like two forums ago.
You've seen it.
Two forums ago, we had like My Chemical Romance sitting down to talk to us. We're like, where's Bean? Where's Bean? He's over talking to Scorch from Idaho Public Radio. Some dude, you know, that just met.
I was talking to Meathead and the Bong from WKKKP.
I was talking to little Bobby Slim Jim, who does a country western countdown show on the clip.
All right, you guys, that's enough.
You suck. Listen, that's what we're saying.
I don't suck.
You suck hard.
Let me tell you about the contest that we've got coming up after the news here. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to win 106.7 free songs from iTunes. As you know, we love the iTunes. In case you wonder where we get our music here at K-Rock. Every Tuesday is New Music Tuesday, and we're going to give you that gift certificate right now. Ralph, explain the game that we're going to be playing, because we are debuting a new game, and usually those are a little rough out of the starting
gate. This is going to be spectacular. It's called the iPod Shuffle. Each of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show at some time or another in the upcoming weeks is going to bring in their iPod from home. We're going to spin the shuffle, and then whatever the song is going to play next, you have to, as a listener, call in and guess what song on our individual iPods we'll be playing next. Just
so
based
there
on
could
what,
be,
you, what you know about us.
There could be 2,000 songs on your iPod, but you feel that a Ralph Garman fan would be able to figure it out.
Right, or a Psycho Mike fan, Lisa May, Kevin Bean. We're all going to take our turn in the barrel, and we're going to spin the iPod shuffle, and then listeners just have to guess what the next song is that's going to pop up on the iPod. And if you win, you get 106.7 downloads, thanks to our friends at iTunes.
That's very cool. Very cool.
It's a very good deal. 1-800-520-1067. That's coming up after the news.
Tom Selleck's birthday is today. He is 63 years old today. Tommy Ramone, drummer for the Ramones, is 56. Oprah Winfrey, talk show host and Antichrist, is 54. And Heather Graham.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
And Heather Graham.
Oh. Yes.
Who could forget her as Roller Girl in Boogie Nights? She was very funny in Bowfinger. She had her own successful TV series for a while called What's Wrong with Amy?
I have no idea what that show was.
It was on for like a minute, and they pulled it. Two episodes, ABC pulled it.
Yeah. That's right.
Not a great TV success, but still, she's good in the movie. She's 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right now, we've got a fantastic new prize for you. Our friends at iTunes are giving away 106.7 free songs to a caller right now at 1-800-520-1067. How much do you love the iTunes? Is it the best?
It's addictive. You can sit there forever just scrolling through the gazillion songs they have and say, oh, I haven't heard that in 17 years. I got to have that one.
A guy like me who never likes to leave the house, I wake up this morning, hey, it's Tuesday, what's out? The new Mars Volta is out today. Willie Nelson's got a new album out today. Of course, the Vampire Weekend that we play here on K-Rock. I don't even have to leave my house. I own them all. You know what I mean? It's just the best. But we're going to do something.
I know.
We're going to do something new for you here today. And what's the actual game called, Ralph?
It's called Doing the iPod Shuffle.
We're the K-Rock Morning Show crew. Shuffling on down, doing it for you.
No.
We're so bad, we're not good. Giving out downloads like you know we would. We're gonna put our iPod on shuffle.
If you guess the song,
there won't be no trouble.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's iPod Shuffle.
We're doing the iPod Shuffle.
Woo! Well, we are. Now, you brought in your personal iPod, Ralph, and you are the guy on the show in the spotlight today, and you're asking listeners to call, if I understand correctly, at 1-800-520-1067. All they have to do is guess what the next song to play on your iPod Shuffle is, and they win the gift certificate.
We've spent a lot of time together, the K-Rock listeners and I.
They
know me pretty well. So we're going to hit the shuffle button on the iPod. It's going to pick a song to play next. And all you have to do is guess what the next song is going to play on my personal iPod. Based on what you know about me, my personality, my likes, my dislikes, my loves, my loves lost.
Hit the iPod there. Let's see what comes up first.
All right, we're going to shuffle through. You got one? You got one, Psycho?
Oh, we do.
Right,
yes.
Ready to go. Okay.
All right.
Taking guesses.
Let's go to Josh Woodland Hills. He's on line 7. Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Josh, all you have to do is tell us what the next song is on Ralph's iPod. You win the iTunes gift certificate. Go ahead.
Kevin and Bean, Ralph, Lisa May.
Hello.
Josh, what's on my iPod?
99 Loof Balloon, German version.
That's a great guess.
It is.
It is on my iPod, but it's not up next, sadly. I'm sorry. I do love that song. You're very close, Josh.
Let's Let's try.
I'll just buzz.
I was expecting to hear the sound effect first. I'm sorry.
We already shuffled.
We already shuffled once. I thought we shuffled each time.
Why would we shuffle again? Why would we reshuffle?
We've got the song lined up that has come off the shuffle. It's going to be.
In my defense, I asked Mike that specific question and he told me different. Let's go to line 8. We've got Will from Glendale calling in. Will, what's on Ralph's iPod?
What's up, guys? Lisa May?
What's up?
Will, what's going to play next on my iPod?
I'm thinking some sort of Sinatra. My Way?
Hold on.
You do love the Frank Sinatra, Ralph.
Why are you reshuffling? Why are you reshuffling, Mike? We've already shuffled and we've got the song lined up. Why do we have to reshuffle all the time?
I hate this game.
Is it Frank Sinatra's My Way? No, it's not. Okay. No.
Looking for the song that's going to play next on my iPod.
Let's try Elizabeth in La Crescenta, please. She's on line 4. Elizabeth, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Lisa May.
Hello.
Hey, Elizabeth.
I'm saying Carpenter's Close to You.
Oh, why do birds suddenly appear?
I love that song, but it's not next on my iPod. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, so sad. How about Alex Santa Monica on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock? 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Alex. What's next?
Oh, no. Excellent guess, but not next on my iPod. These are all songs that I would have on my iPod, but it's not the one that's going to play next.
Line 3, Carlos. Carlos is in Lawndale trying to win 106.7 free songs from iTunes and K-Rock. Carlos, what is it?
Hey, good morning, guys. Lovely Lisa May.
Hello.
I think it's Rock Me Amadeus.
Oh, that would be an excellent guess. Unfortunately, yes. It's not the one that came up when we shuffled. I'm sorry. But, of course, I would have that on my iPod and do have that on my iPod.
So, like, I'm like, I've been hitting the buzzer for everyone. Now, all of a sudden, you're hitting the buzzer. What the hell's going on down there?
The last two that you didn't hit it, I figured I'd just jump in. So I figured, hey, since you're not going to do it, I'll do it.
Angela, Hollywood, line 8, Kevin Beach, Sean K-Rock. Angela, what's next?
The Go-Go's Vacation.
Ooh. Oh, another great song, but not the one that's lined up next. I'm sorry.
Too bad. Nice try.
These are all songs I actually do have on my iPod. These people know me well.
They do.
But they haven't picked the one song that is lined up next.
All right. I think there's an excellent chance that Mark is right. Mark is on line 6 calling from Ontario. Hi, Mark. What's the song?
Laura.
Yeah. Sorry. You're talking to us now, Mark.
Anytime.
Go ahead.
Anytime, Mark.
Mark, you have a guess?
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, what's your guess, Mark?
Betty Money, 2 Tickets to Paradise.
Oh, excellent guess, but unfortunately not the one that's lined up.
So close.
These are all perfect guesses. You know
Justin,
me.
North Hollywood, line 4. Justin, running out of time, what's on Ralph's iPod?
What's up, Lisa May, Kevin B.
What's up, Justin?
I believe it's Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, I do love Rocky, but unfortunately not the one that's lined up next on my iPod. I'm sorry.
Wow, great guesses,
These people know me. I would and do have all these songs on my iPod, but it just doesn't happen to be the one that's lined up next after we shuffled it.
Line 3 is Sean. He's in Burbank. Let's see if he's got a bead on what Ralph might be listening to next. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Knowing Ralph, I'm saying Divinyls, I Touch Myself.
How dare you, sir?
That's an excellent
guess, but no, not the one that came up when we shuffled, unfortunately.
Wow. All right. Yvette is in West Covina, line 6. Yvette on the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Good morning, guys.
Hey,
morning.
Yvette, what's coming up next on my iPod?
It's the theme from the original Batman TV show.
Let's take a listen. Oh, well done, Yvette.
Yes.
Excellent guess. You know me so well. That's what came up next on my iPod after we hit shuffle. You're the lucky winner of 106.7 downloads courtesy of iTunes.
That was the only thing I could think of. So,
well done.
You know, excellent guess.
You called the right show on the right day at the right time with the right person because he's the only guy in America who has the Batman theme on his iPod. So congratulations. You are a winner.
Thanks for listening.
Hang on.
Ralph makes me cry every morning.
He makes me cry every morning too, Yvette.
I feel bad.
We're the K-Rock Morning Show crew. Shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're so bad, we're not good. Giving out downloads like you know we would. We're gonna put our iPod on shuffle.
If you guess a song,
there won't be no trouble.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's iPod Shuffle.
Has Mike ever been more delusional than he is about how many five-year-olds could you take in a fight?
Well, it's a matter of degrees, because he's constantly delusional. But this time, he's really just out of his mind.
I do get the sense sometimes that Psycho Mike, who, you know, he is in pretty good shape and considers himself, you know,
the best creature on earth. Right. I do get the feeling sometimes that he thinks he's a real life Rambo and that he could kill 100 people with his bare hands if he had to.
Yeah. He thinks, I think the drug use really has done some damage. That's the problem. I think he's really fried his brain to the point where now he can't comprehend reality versus fantasy.
I don't think I could kill 100 people with my bare hands. 5-year-olds? Yeah.
Okay, oh, here's the deal. There's a website that's become very popular on the internet, as the kids call it, called How Many 5-Year-Olds Could You Take in a Fight? By the way, do not email me to ask me what the website is. How Many 5-Year-Olds Could You Take in a Fight.com is the website. Okay?
Very easy.
And the ground rules are simple. You're enclosed in an area roughly the size of a basketball court. There's no weapons or foreign objects. Everyone's wearing a cup.
Right.
The children are merciless. No kicks to the groin, right? The children are merciless and will show no fear. If a child is knocked unconscious, he is out. The same goes for you. And the purpose of the website is there is a quiz that they have developed where they ask questions about your physical ability, whether you have any kind of special training, if you're, you know, if you have some judo in the back or, you know, right. your past or something like that.
Your personality, they want to know what kind of person you are.
Right. They want to know, there's a moral compass section about, you know, discerning how you would feel about fighting kids. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to win? And then at the end, you take a short quiz, and there is a score that is revealed of how many 5-year-olds you could take in a fight. And I was completely honest when I took the quiz, and my number was 18. 18 5-year-olds.
Yeah. Which I think is a little high, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'd want to do it, but according to the information I inputted, they think I could take 18 5-year-olds in a fight. So,
but you'd be crying. You'd be crying after like the fifth one. Did they say that? You'd just be a mess, and just by sheer falling on them by your voluminous size, you'd crush a few. Lucky, you'd get lucky.
So we're having a conversation about this off air because this is the type of thing that people do to waste time at work. And Psycho Mike laughs out loud at any number under 100. He seems to believe that he could take all the 5-year-olds in the world.
He said infinite. He said all infinite number. Mm-hmm. They would just keep coming. I would just keep taking them out, all of them, all the time. And I said, you're an idiot. By sheer numbers, anything, if anything attacks you in a swarm or a pack, eventually they're going to wear you down and you're going to go down.
No, not me. I could take an infinite number of 5-year-olds. I could wreck them. I would wreck 5-year-olds.
You know how small their bones are? You know how undeveloped their breathing is?
I could take them all out. I went to my sister's kindergarten class where her kid goes. I could kill them all.
I did think about that. I was last time I was at my nephew Mark, his kindergarten class. He is exactly 5, and I was thinking back to when I was in that classroom, and there's 45-year-olds in there. I'm like, if I just went let loose, I would wreck every one of those kids before they could even think to do anything. And now, and then, obviously, you take the wolves and you change them up a little bit because these are ruthless 5-year-olds. These are not your average 5-year-olds.
They're like zombie 5-year-olds.
No, yeah.
Feral kids.
Okay, I sat at home and I thought about this. I'm like, okay, these are Soviet coked-out orphans. These are like the baddest 5-year-olds that have ever existed.
By the way, Soviet coked-out orphans playing Coachella, they're very good.
Yeah, you've got an 8-ball in your pocket, and they're jonesing.
They need it, yeah. Right. I'm the only food they're going to have. These kids, they're not going to stop at anything.
They're children of the corn.
And I took the test numerous times yesterday, and I got both between 34 and 36, changing my answers on a couple that I was iffy. And it's 34, and I'm still saying way low, easily 50. You put me in a basketball court with 55-year-olds, I will – not only will I beat them up and win, I will probably come out mostly unscathed.
You're just
serve
insane.
Them. Yeah, okay, whatever.
They're
Lightning's
kids
fine.
You.
Lightning kids, you know what, take Gavin and clone him. And I would just go on a war path.
But you're not Superman, Mike.
I know
you're
I'm not Superman. They're 5-year-olds.
But they're a swarm of them attacking you all at once.
It's I know.
You do get tired, Mike. You understand that.
I understand that,
That the 5-year-olds that are outside of your reach are not tired.
Right.
Okay? So
They're coming over the
top. They're coming at you.
I understand that. But as you take out one or two 5-year-olds, and if they're unconscious, they're done. So I break off the first 4 or 5 within my first striking distance. Then I have room to move and maneuver, and I can back up and check my
space.
But
they're coming from behind you.
It's over after that.
They're coming from behind you, idiot. They're coming from every possible direction.
I understand that, but you.
If I got a cage of 50 rats and I let them loose on you, they would gnaw you to death before you could take all the rats out.
See, now you're just being asinine. That's ridiculous.
We're talking about swarm mentality.
Picture the scene in Kill Bill where Uma has the 88s, where she's got 88 swordsmen coming at her. From all different angles. But I'm just saying, it's a room full of adversaries. Look, Ralph brought up a great point when he used the word swarm. Could you take one bee? Of course you could. Could you take two bees? Yeah. Could you take 1,000 bees? I don't think so.
No,
I mean, there is strength in numbers against you.
Is that they would have to all literally, like a cartoon, jump on me at once and keep me down. That doesn't happen in real life. One of them gets on my back, I shake him off immediately.
Then another one's on your back, the minute you shake him off, and he's gouging at your eyes, and you can't see the other one's coming.
Yeah, you can't be everywhere at all. At
how
one time.
Arrogant
it's
are
impossible.
You thinking you can just dominate anyone at any time?
No, I don't. I think I could dominate 55-year-olds who come up to my waist in a basketball court. That's the. I'm just telling you.
You're mentally deficient.
All right.
Truly are.
All right. Okay. Listen to me. If you take,
you took the test and they gave you the number and you still reject that. You reject even the scientific,
I must, excellence
of the how many 5 years
could
you take in a fight.
Eat a little crow and say that I can't take infinite like I thought. I was seeing it as like a Bruce Lee movie where they're just lining up
that's
in a line going one by one
that's,
and I'm just breaking them off.
You think your life's a Bruce Lee movie?
No,
and it's not.
No. But 50 is very, that's a average LA Unified School District class, 50 kids. Put them in a basketball court right now. Put them in Nerf costumes so I can't really hurt them. And I just start wailing. You will see. Let's do any of you out there who hate your children, or you, like if there's some orphans listening that happen to be on like a CB radio that you found in the trash, let's do it. Come on,
yeah,
anytime.
All you orphans on the trash CB that picks up FM, come on down.
All right, we need to take a break. Let me take one call before we do. Go to Kirk in Lakewood. He's on line 7. And then we're going to take other calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're right about this. And Mike is psycho. He's living up to his name. He is delusional if he thinks he could take 55-year-olds. He just can't. Kirk, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey. I've got three boys, 9, 6, and 3. You give them all 3 wiffle ball bats, and they would take his ass down.
No wiffle ball bats.
No weapons,
so shut up.
Thing, Kirk.
Stupid Kirk.
Okay, okay, fine, then, dude. 3 rusty spoons.
Listen, no weapons allowed!
Clearly stated.
That was the first thing I said. You give them stones, or I mean, I'm not talking about wandering through Slovakia and kids are hitting me from the ceiling with big boulders, you douche. I'm talking about kids with no weapons.
Look,
there's nothing they can do to me!
Okay, I'm sorry. My 3 sons and my 2 nephews that are under 4 would kick his ass.
Yeah, all right. Especially if you had them all hopped up on Captain Crunch or something with a lot of sugar in it.
That's a bold claim. Bring them down here.
Thank you for the call, Kurt. We brought up an excellent point that I think you're forgetting. You're thinking about the fire in your belly, Mike, and you're thinking about how motivated you are to win. Picture 50 kids just as motivated as you are. They're bringing it also.
With
they may not have your strength one-on-one, but they are rapid.
No, they don't have more energy.
Have you ever been around a 5-year-old?
Yes, a lot. A lot
they
of times. That's what you're missing.
And jump and scream
they
and
can.
Shout.
They have a lot of energy.
For like a day and a half.
They have a lot of energy.
They
but they
nap.
Have teeny little lungs. Not only do they have no power, they have very little wind. They can go all day because they have a lot of energy, but they have to stop and take breaks. They get tired.
They don't need a lot of energy to put their little tiny hands in your eyes and pull them out.
But
they're attacking your eyes, your face.
That's what you're misunderstanding. They're 3 feet tall. How are they getting to my eyes when I'm like a Viking berserker spinning around serving them? I pick up one kid and start bashing
how
other kids with
would
them.
How would you be after the Viking berserker, by the way, for about 3 minutes, and they're still coming?
Once you create space in the basketball court, because that's clearly stated in the rules, once you create space for myself, I can start knowing my what's behind me and in
they're
front
mad.
Of me and
they're
moving.
Not, they're not going to stand back and let you
no,
have space.
No, but I
they're
can create.
Coming.
I've been jumped by adults, and that's what you do. You create. Once you can create some
Mike,
space, you know where to move.
These aren't
but
reasonable
Mike, what
adults who are trying
about
to
the
size
kids,
you up, a-hole.
What about the kids who can crawl around your feet and pull you down? They can pull your legs out from under you.
Yeah,
you can't
I agree.
Control all of them.
Listen,
all right.
listen.
We got to take a break. Hold on, everybody. We got to take a break. We got some calls
we'll
on the phone.
We'll get your point of view when we come back, right?
We will definitely hear from Omar. We'll hear from you, too. 1-800-520-1067. The site is how many 5-year-olds could you take in a fight? Mike says all. We'll discuss when we return on K-Rock. I think we're going to have to take this out of the laboratory and put it in real world and have to find 55-year-olds to take down Psycho Mike, don't
Come
you guys?
Come on.
Listen to Nate from Torrance's email. Ralph, when I was 5, my dad taught me to grab onto the neck and not to let go for anything. If Psycho Mike had a kid like me, the time it would take him to get me off his neck, 10 other kids would take him out at the knees, then 5 would start jumping on his head, while the other 10 kids tackling him would start breaking his fingers.
No, he's thinking with a grown adult's brain, but not with a 5-year-old's body. The time it would take me to get him off my neck is 1.5 seconds of just.
And what about the next one who gets on your neck? What about the next one? And then the one after that?
Why are the kids giving you headbutts in the knees and the stomach while that's happening?
They won't be headbutting my knees because they'll be simultaneously getting their ribs broken by one kick from me because they're 5-year-olds and they have bones like little birds.
You can't keep kicking every 1.5 seconds.
Yes, I can!
Well, you just do the splits in the air for an hour? You're an idiot asshole!
All right, hold on a sec, Jackie Chan. Let's take some calls. How many 5-year-olds could you take into fight.com as the site? That's the discussion on the table. Let's start with Lion 2.
I got 27, by the way. I took the test. 27.
Oh, did you? Wow. Okay. Well, you got the boxing training and everything. You got some skills. 1-800-520-1067. Ron is in Covina. Robert is in Bill Gardens. He is on line 3, please. We'll try to squeeze in a few phone calls and try to bring Mike down a few pegs. Yeah. Good morning, Robert. What do you think?
Morning. You know, Mike, as much as these kids nowadays need a nice good beating, but I think most of us, if you think about it, every single punch you throw, Mike, is going to be with the intent to kill him. And after about, if any of the stands there in shadow boxes and throws their hardest punches after 20, you're already getting winded. By then, those kids have all jumped on you. I think sounds pretty accurate. About 30, even if they land up one at a time, you're going to get winded after a bit, man.
Now what about that? You're going to get winded, and there are going to be a ton of 5-year-olds in the room who haven't done anything yet who are still at full strength. Right?
Well, I took that into consideration, and yes, fighting is probably the most physically demanding thing there is. But I'm not in kind of good shape. I'm in really good shape, both respiratory-wise and muscular-wise. And my adrenaline's flowing. That's clearly stated in the rules that not only are the kids fighting to the death, that I am in mode to fight to death. I've thrown morality right out the door, and this is a fight to the death. So with the adrenaline pump, I'm ready to go.
But when your adrenaline's pumping, your energy is used up even quicker. If you know anything about fighting, know that they keep your cool in the ring, because in 3 minutes, if you let your adrenaline get you on top of the physical activity, your energy will start to burn out. It happens to the best of fighters, Mike, and you're not nearly as in shape as the guys who are in the ring professionally.
I'm not saying I'm not, but
so after 3 minutes, they're winded, but you wouldn't be because you're super psycho, Mike.
No.
Let's go to Ron in Covina. He's on line 2. Also disagrees that Mike could take 50. Ron, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? What the hell is smoking, man? Seriously, you can only take 30. And the reason I say this is, first of all, you could probably get like a few of them, but after a while, they're going to start clinging to your body. And then you're going to be trying to kick them off and throw them off, and they're going to start climbing on you.
Yeah, it's sheer numbers.
That's what we're saying. For some reason, Mike doesn't understand that kids can do that.
Well, no, what you don't understand is that kids aren't like adults and that they couldn't do that. That the level of disproportion between my strength and their strength and my ability and their ability and the – it says that if they get knocked out, they're considered dead. If they're
right.
knocked out of the
game,
out,
right.
out of the game. I'm going to knock out so many so quickly that it's going to create ability for me to walk around and create and
you're
see
not
what I'm
Chan,
doing.
Man.
Oh,
I know, you're
I'm
not.
You're not Jackie Chan. Whatever.
You're going to start whacking people, knocking them out, like giving karate judo chops?
They're 5-year-olds.
And they're coming at you all at once in a mass swarm. You're not understanding the concept of the sheer numbers of what you're facing.
You're not understanding that how, because they're coming at me in a mass swarm, how are they going to all get on top of me? What, I mean, it takes
one at
so,
a time.
So little force to throw them off of me and keep to prevent them from getting my legs, getting on top of me, getting my hands, getting my back. They're up to my waist, and I'm not even a tall guy. How are they going to get up there when I'm constantly preventing them at
they're
all
angles?
They're
climbing on top of each other and themselves.
Okay.
They're coming at you like wild animals. That's the whole point.
I understand that.
You don't understand.
What, you don't. I don't understand. I guess you don't spend enough time with kids to know how fragile that body, even a big, huge 5-year-old who's, like I said, like these are like the worst, most badass, like tough thug 5-year-olds. Their body can only take so much damage before they're either fatally injured or injured to the point they can't go on.
You can handle 50 chihuahuas, let alone 50 kids.
Let's talk to Lauren in Newport Beach, line 7. Lauren, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on Q-Rock. Help us bring Psycho Mike down a few pegs. What's up?
Good morning. I am a teacher of severely handicapped, autistic, emotionally disturbed 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. And I would like to invite Mike to my classroom to take on 6 or 7 of my students because they are wild.
Yes.
And bite him and grind him down so fast.
I bet.
They will take chunks out of his flesh. It'll be
absolutely
awesome.
I like how you're offering up your students to get beaten,
hey, Don,
by the way.
This isn't about her. This isn't about her, by the way. This is about you. And I hope they bite you right in the artery in the inside of your leg and you bleed out.
I hope
absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's their – A, they're special. So they don't include – they're not included
they
in the rules.
They do have card strength, though. You guys got to remember that.
Yeah. Unfair.
They are card
strength.
By the way, Mike doesn't seem to think, thank you, Lauren, for the call. We appreciate it. Mike doesn't even seem to think the way he's talking that he could get hurt. He doesn't say, he seems to think he's impervious to them biting. He's impervious to them kicking, to smashing. There's nothing
he thinks is World of Warcraft. He gets to pick what his power is when he goes in.
And my power is being a strong adult. And
he thinks that they are not strong enough to do any damage to him.
Right, because he's impenetrable. Because he is just, of course he's superhuman.
All right, let's do one more.
Bird bones.
Joe is in Glendora on line 5.
We're not getting malnourished kids from Ethiopia who are like, hitting you like Montgomery Burns, by the way, looking for some rice and Sally Struthers.
Unfortunately, I don't think we could find a scenario, as generous as Lauren's offer is, where Mike can actually fight the kids.
There has to be some illegal immigrants who could offer up their kids for like $50. Come on.
Well, let's see what Joe's saying. Joe may have an idea. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Kevin and Beanley's the mate.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
So there's only two ways we could really come to a conclusion on this. I think the first one would be either to call the decider.
Right.
Which I think Psycho Mike's obviously probably going to lose that. Or we could put him in the 50-kid simulator and put him in a gymnasium full of midgets.
What about midgets to substitute for the 5-year-olds? What about that?
5-year-olds.
I'm in.
No, oh, come on.
How many midgets could you take,
though? Stronger than 5-year-olds.
I agree, but it'd be worth trying. It'd be fun to beat up 50 midgets.
You would. Or at least number one. And
listen, if you don't live for something, Lisa, you die for nothing.
Way to go, Rambo.
Congratulations to Bellini Amaranto from La Palma, who sounds hot, I think. Don't you guys?
I think it's a dude.
Oh, I take that back. I don't know what kind of name Bellini is. Anyway, Bellini is going to go see Paramore along with My Chemical Romance at that Bamboozle Left Festival you've been hearing about here on K-Rock. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 o'clock, April 5th and 6th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And Bellini is, hear her, eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to send someone to see Paramore in Germany. Sorry, Roddy. Your chance to qualify is coming up on K-Rock. It's 9 o'clock at K-Rock FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
I had Bellini Amaranto last night at my favorite Italian restaurant, Frankie's there in Melrose.
Was that good?
Oh, man, the way they fixed that veal, it's just, they pound it really thin. Oh, and they put the Amaranto sauce all over, and it's just outstanding.
I hadn't heard about that.
Recommended highly. It's another day, which means we wouldn't be breathing if there wasn't another Britney Spears story to tell. This time, Britney was photographed screaming and crying on Monday night following a argument with her manager slash creepy hanger-oner dude, Sam Lufty.
Britney Spears, what about her?
According to various outlets, the two had a screaming match in which Britney was seen jumping out of the car, crying and distressed. She sat on the curb holding her dog and crying like a retarded 5-year-old. And he continued to yell at her. Paparazzi were asking her if she was okay. And she said, I'm fine. I'm sitting for once and having a nice time with my dog. I like pudding. Apparently, there's problems between Lufty and her on-again, off-again paparazzo boyfriend, Adnan Galib.
Dude, bro.
Lufty has told her that he has to stay away from Britney, cease all contact with her immediately, calling him a manic trigger, and that he'll kill her if he continues to have contact with her.
Dude.
Apparently, Britney called Adnan after the fight and asked him to come pick her up at the house. He got to the house. He was denied access under orders of Sam Lufty. The guards turned him away. He tried to call her on all of her 6 cell phones, and
she does not have 6 cell phones.
Apparently, she does, Lisa. And there was no answer. Adnan seems to believe Lufty had them all turned off.
I'm sure Sam's not a good guy.
No, he's not.
But I doubt Adnan has her best interest at heart. And you know she's going to go to whoever doesn't tell her no.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And she has, this is, we, you know, make the comparison so often between her and Anna Nicole Smith, who has, Britney has no one around her that seems to have her best interest in mind. She seems to be relatively estranged from her family. She doesn't seem to have any real friends, just hangers on. And who's gonna help her?
Ralph, well, she won't let anyone.
Ralph and I were talking about this off the air a while ago, and he brought up the fact that she probably has pushed away everybody that would have her best interest in mind.
As soon as you tell her no, she gets
cuts you loose, and she finds someone to tell her yes. But I feel for Britney. She's obviously trying to avoid all the negative publicity. In fact, just last night, she was at the Hustler store in Hollywood doing some shopping, as the paparazzi called her. Seriously. I can understand you go out, you get a cup of coffee. Maybe you go clothes shopping, Kitson, 1:30 in the morning on Robertson. But the Hustler Hollywood store, aren't you just asking for it?
Of course.
Madness.
Close your leg, bitch!
Speaking of bitches, Tyra Banks wants to get married.
But her boyfriend hasn't proposed, and she's starting to get unnerved by it, according to Star Magazine. She wants to settle down, but John Udendahl, her boyfriend, hasn't popped the question yet, and no one knows if he plans to or not, but she's starting to get antsy.
How long have they been dating?
Like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's not long.
Look, she's a nightmare. No one wants to marry you, Tyra. You're going to die old and alone.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
You know, no one loved Tyra Banks more than I did. I really was her biggest fan.
Wow, as you guys, fans, we're making some
as
headway.
You guys all know.
Yeah.
Well, she has, in recent years, because of her talk show, turned into a mouthy drag queen. And that's a problem.
Yeah, I guess it would be. Especially if you're looking for someone to marry you.
Right.
Yeah, not to mention she's getting fat. Oh, she's getting fat. Fat, fat, fat.
Fat, 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 fat,
oh,
fat.
Fat, 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 fat.
Fat girls.
One thing to say to you.
What?
Kiss my fat ass.
Do I have to?
I don't want to. Neither does your boyfriend, apparently.
You're such a fat ass that when you walk down the street, people go, God damn it, that's a big fat ass.
It's true.
Aiden Panettiere is better than you and me.
True.
Certainly better than you. She is saving marine mammals. God bless her. E! Online says she was in Washington, D.C. this weekend at a rally on behalf of Save the Whales. On Sunday, she spoke, asking Japanese fishermen who kill the animals to stop doing so, especially for the meat, because a majority of it is contaminated by huge levels of mercury that, sadly, the whales are ingesting. So the next stops on her crusade will be to the embassies of Iceland, Norway, and Japan.
That's awesome.
So she's really dedicating herself to this, and I think it's quite the noble cause she's undertaken.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, at 18 years old?
Yeah, you can still buy her clothes, by the way.
Really?
Closet. HaydenPanettiere'sCloset.com. I think you can she's auctioning off her clothing from her own closet so that she can raise money for this cause. There's no more underwear. I got it all. But there's other stuff. There's other stuff you can get.
Mike, could you take Hayden Panettiere and a whale?
And a whale?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I would punch the whale in the face, it would be unconscious. Then I would pick up the whale, all 17 tons of it, and I would hit Hayden Panettiere with the whale. And then I would eat them both.
How old's the whale?
Ass. Nicolas Cage is instructed reporters on a recent press tour that they are not to look at his hair.
Or lack
What's up
thereof.
With that? Lisa, how dare you? Nicolas Cage has a full, lustrous head of hair.
I'm sure he does.
The British tabloid The London Sun says that journalists were warned if they looked anywhere near his hairline, the interview would be canceled mid-interview. Apparently, Nicolas is using some products to make his hair look somewhat fuller and doesn't like people paying too much attention to it because it makes him uncomfortable.
More of a hair plug protector.
So, if you ever see Nick, don't stare at his hair.
Is he capable, I know you're a fan, Ralph, is he capable of good acting anymore?
Yes.
Or has he turned into something?
Stop it.
I'm just saying, I mean,
I think he is good more than he's bad.
Really? Because
yes.
He's bad in a lot of movies.
No, those are the ones you just fixate on, but he is fine to good in the majority of his performances. Even in bad movies, like The Rock or you know, if whatever you think of the National Treasure movies, I think he's quite capable of being an entertaining performer. He's always interesting. Even when he's over the top, at least he's doing something interesting. You ever see Kiss of Death, where he played Junior, the lunatic, madman?
Yes, yoked out mafia son. Yeah.
Crazy dude. Or even Peggy Sue Got Married, where he's doing that weird voice where he plays her boyfriend, Catherine Turner's boyfriend in that movie.
Look,
it's just interesting stuff.
He's been in some movies I loved. Obviously, I loved Adaptation. I loved, Wild at Heart? I love that.
John Malkovich's head or whatever.
He certainly has done some good work. It just seems like...
Was that John Cusack?
John Malkovich, huh?
What was that?
I think that was John Cusack. Yeah.
John Cusack.
I just think in recent years, he's turned into some sort of thing that I don't recognize as the Nick Cage I fell in love with in Vampire's Kiss.
Hmm.
I fell in love with him.
What if that keeps him up at night?
Hmm.
I don't think so.
The 50th Annual Grammy Awards are a go. It's official. The Writers Guild of America came to an agreement with the producers of the telecast, at least for the interim, and they will not be picketing the ceremonies, so the awards will go on as scheduled. Friday the 10th, February 10th is the big night. Staples Center in Los Angeles and CBS will be airing the show live, so no problems with the Grammys.
I think I can give you the great news. I don't think he'd mind me saying this, is that the reason Kevin's not here today is he's in rehearsal for the Grammy broadcast, and I believe we have some tape of that now.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I thought you might see that, Kevin, when he brought it up.
You know, does this every year. He is the voice of the Grammys. He does their announcing, right. And he couldn't be here today, as being mentioned, because he's busy laying down some tracks, I think, for this year's nominees. So during the awards, you will hear Kevin talking about
something. Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number one. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number one. Send the number two. Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once... God damn it. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word one. Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. An unforgettable moment with An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. Wow. With Carrie Underwood and Riscal Flatts.
Okay, I said both those names wrong. Sorry, again.
Ludacris. The 49th Annual Grammy Awards. Let's do it again. No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley.
Okay. That's gay riding. You know that, right? Okay. No, I want to do it again. That's vodka and Red Bull. For 4 days in a row in Miami. I could quite possibly die during this recording session. An Shit.
Wow. I think it's going to be a good show. I think it's the point we're
very entertaining.
Looking forward to it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tom Selleck is 63 years old today. Looks pretty good for 63, by the way.
He does.
Absolutely.
Ticks me off a little bit. Hate these dudes.
I know. They got a lot of money. They get stuff done.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Tommy Ramone of the Ramones is 56 years old today. Oprah Winfrey, talk show host and man-hater, is 54 years old today. Heather Graham.
Yeah.
Oh, remember her as Roller Girl in Boogie Nights, the porn star?
Absolutely.
On the roller skates?
Boobs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who was the redhead? She had the
Julianne Moore.
The old coked-up lesbian love
That's
scene.
That's right.
Julianne Moore.
Oh, man.
How adorable was she on Scrubs, too? She had that recurring role, remember?
Very, very authentic as a 70s porn star, too, because she kept that lady garden, you know, growing.
She's 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do is a pair of tickets to the NHRA CarQuest Auto Parts Winter Nationals. That's going on at the Auto Club Raceway at Pomona on Sunday, February 10th. By the way, I had not seen this before yesterday, guys, when we were talking about it, but apparently you can go to Carrick.com and enter to win a drag race with producer Lightning. Apparently that is...
What now?
Yes. A drag race with Lightning is being offered.
That's the worst prize ever.
I'm driving fast. You may need to find out more about that. Anyway, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Get a prize. It's Kevin Beans' What It Do Nephew. Let's talk to Fred
Greatest
in Fullerton.
Greatest prize ever, mind
Worst,
you.
Well,
yeah, beat it. Worst prize
I want to hear about that tomorrow, I think. Fred is calling about this Sunday's Super Bowl. Fred, good morning. You're on the Kevin Beans Show. What It Do?
Yeah, good morning, guys. How's it going?
What It Do, Fred?
I just want to go on record to say that this is going to be a huge upset. The Giants will win the game.
Really?
Fred, yes. You are on record as having said that. Why do you believe so?
Well, from the past Super Bowls, I'm just going by the records. Defense wins Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter how many points you score, how many points the Patriots scored during the year, blowing out people and everything, but they're not playing that well right now.
But the defense is stepping up, though, when their offense does dip a little bit, like it did in the Jacksonville game, for instance. The defense is what comes up and saves their ass.
But he's saying New York's defense is stronger.
Even stronger than New England's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like New York's chances. Yeah,
well, you shouldn't be telling us. You should be telling some nice man behind a window in Las Vegas, my friend.
Yeah.
I think the spread is still around 14, isn't it, Fred? Do you know what the spread is?
Yeah. Also, when are you ever going to see, again... Two brothers at quarterback win Super Bowls back to back.
Oh, you
probably never in my lifetime.
Not in our lifetime, no.
But one of the brothers is a retarded guy.
When
are you going to see a retarded quarterback win the Super Bowl? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. You're right, though, that Eli Manning will do so much for little special children, and they'll have a hero to look up to.
Can you imagine the Special Olympics after a retard wins the Super Bowl? It'd be incredible.
I know.
No kidding.
Let's go down to line 7, San Dimas. It's Canaan, I want to say.
Canaan.
Canaan.
Yeah, Kanan.
Yeah.
Well, look at the creative spelling that Dave chose to give Kanan's name.
I was thinking it was Kanan.
It's spelled like Kanan Road. Like
yeah,
in Malibu, right?
Where I got my name from.
Yeah, there you go.
How about that? You're on the Kevin Meacher. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do, Kanan?
I was wondering from yesterday, the Scientology thing you guys did, if you guys are fearing for your lives now because of everything that you guys put on the air.
Well,
I'm afraid for Bean's life because he's the one who really doesn't like Scientology.
Yeah,
he's the one.
Yeah.
Who's
well, it's
focus
really more. Kevin.
I liked Bean
too. I did
too.
But Bean's the one who's had the axe to grind. So,
but I believe Kevin is the guy really who insisted that we put that information out there. Look, it's not us doing it. We're not the ones who are trying to tear it down. But we are interested that there is this group out there that is basically trying to expose stuff behind closed doors at Scientology that we've never seen before. I mean, I think we're all interested in learning more about it, and It's troubling to us that they call themselves a church, yet so much is secret. Let it out there. If it's not anything to be ashamed or embarrassed about, let people see it. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
But there was a guy who had a website who was trying to go against Scientology, and they started papering his neighborhood saying that he was against religions and he was a hater, and they started spreading all kinds of smear campaigns about him and stuff and everything. So that's a little concerning when you see that kind of stuff.
You never see churches doing that, really, do you?
Not so much.
Hardly ever.
No.
What were his crimes, though? I mean, that's the question.
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Brian in Alhambra. He's on line 3. Brian is calling about a conversation we had last hour about how many 5-year-olds could you take in a fight. Brian, good morning. You're on K-Rock. What'd it do?
What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do, Brian?
Hey, if he says he can take down, 55-year-olds, mm-hmm. what do they weigh, about 50, 60 pounds? They use their arms, their legs, and their mouth. They're going to bite. Put him in a ring, I'd say, with 10 dogs that are about 50 or 60 pounds, and they can only use their mouth.
That's true.
Yeah,
right
they're dogs, dude.
Yeah,
there's no comparison.
They have sharp teeth.
They have razor mouths that with thousands of foot-pounds of strength in their jaw.
Well, on the other hand, remember, a bite from a child or a human is worse than a dog.
No, it's not.
And the yes,
no, it's not.
Human's mouth is dirtier than a dog.
Okay, but
they can't
necessarily
get to his.
I don't care about the infection at that point. I'm talking about the actual pressure that a human jaw can make with it, you know. Compared to a dog's, it's not even comparable, dude. That's dumb.
It's not.
Although, Brian, I don't think Mike's you're right. I do think that we should put Mike in a cage with 10 60-pound rabid dogs.
No, because I don't. No, that's unfair because I have no aspiration to hurt dogs.
I'm not saying anything about the argument.
Okay,
I'm just saying I want to see you in a cage fighting off 10 big dogs.
I'd rather fight midgets.
I'd rather see you torn apart by wild dogs. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Thank you for the call, Brian. What about the idea, now Lightning will not stop talking about making it a pay-per-view, but what about, could we find midgets who would be willing to go into a ring with Mike and fight him?
Look,
I know a lot of midgets will do anything for a buck.
I was going to say, for enough money, you could make anybody do anything. I've seen videos on the internet of girls doing horrible things, so I know that money talks, but I don't know if I'm down. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, so you're all talk. That's what you're saying.
Adult midgets.
Yeah, you're
That are willingly doing it. Okay, I'm in.
Really? You would
that was
do that?
Easy.
Yeah, hell yeah. But adult midgets, I'm only saying 10. That's fair, right? 10 adult midgets compared to, you know, I could take 10 adult midgets. I'm saying so. Right here on the air.
I think you could.
Okay, well then, get 10 adult midgets.
My money would be on. I think the Giants are more likely to win the Super Bowl than you could beat up 10 midgets. I do. What do you think, Ralph? 10 midgets? That seems like a lot.
He's got to knock them out.
As long as the midgets are allowed to bite and gouge and do everything that the 5-year-olds are allowed to do on the website, I would say absolutely I'm in and I will pay the midgets personally.
But the website clearly stated that, you know, killing comes into play. I don't want to kill anybody.
No, and certainly we don't want anyone to get killed. But if these midgets willingly would go in and have an actual knockdown, drag-out fight where, you know, everybody understood the ground rules, but they could get hurt, would they do it? Would you do it?
See a midget sitting on Mike's chest just pounding him in the head with his little tiny fists.
Can a couple of them be
kind of
female?
The greatest thing ever. No.
Why not?
Yeah, you don't want to hit a woman.
They sign up for it. Can a couple be female? Come on.
No. Why do you want to hit small women?
Because they signed up for it.
They didn't sign up for it. No one has signed up for it yet. We're trying to, you know, decide the parameters of this.
Look, I'm just saying.
The state of radio these days, you can't have people drink water on stage without getting sued. So I don't know that we'd be able to set something like this up, but I sure would like to look into it because I would enjoy seeing that very much, I think.
All right.
How about Mike in the ring with that tiger from that zoo who took out those kids?
Montecore?
No, the one who attacked
the one in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Oh. I don't think he survived.
Lisa, you're not helping. You're missing the point, I think.
The fact that the tiger's not alive anymore doesn't matter.
Oh, the tiger didn't survive. Yeah. They said Mike wouldn't survive.
No, no.
Oh, we'll find another tiger. Okay. Those tigers do anything for money.
They're whores.
Yeah.
I want to thank all of our guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Rich Eisen, who I think you guys will agree is one of the great humans on Earth.
So good.
He is, of course, the man, the genius behind the NFL Network. You can see him for 31 hours this week as they lead up to Super Bowl 42, which they will not air on Sunday afternoon, but definitely check out the NFL Network. And if you don't get it, please call and yell at your cable company, won't you? Also, thanks to Kumar for joining us, the great Cal Penn. He, of course, is on The House Show, which comes back tonight with an all-new episode tonight at 9 o'clock on Fox. Tomorrow morning on a Kevin and Bean Show, coming to a radio near you, we do have, and I have not heard much of this tape, but apparently a tape has been uncovered of the first week of the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Ralph, you have that.
I do, and I've heard it, and I will be playing clips tomorrow, and you suck.
Have we not improved?
Oh, you're talking about the tape back then? Yeah, you're
bad.
I'm
saying, have we not improved since then?
No,
oh, bad.
No. You will see the same mistakes being made from 400 years ago, whenever it was.
Wow. Not much has changed.
No,
right?
Not much has changed.
Also, terrific actor Steve Zahn joins us on the program tomorrow. His movie
Love
looks
him
very,
so
very
much.
Funny.
He's the man.
Speaking of actors, John Cryer, who's one of the men on Two and a Half Men, is also a rabid New York Giants fan and will also explain to us how they will have the upset of the century and beat New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. John Cryer on the show tomorrow talking about that. We are also going to be talking to the airline that is offering nude air travel.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I think so, too. And highlights from tonight's American Idol as the parade obad continues. All of that tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kat Corbett's coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop. Kira, got some news for you. Also, AFI, Vampire Weekend, whose album comes out today. Stick around for A Punk. Also, Green Day, Linkin Park, Killers, and more after this on K-Rock.